Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Today is Thursday, and we begin the month of November. It's the first. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a teenage girl and her five-year-old brother who were out trick-or-treating were wounded while being caught in the crossfire of two gunmen. Authorities say 14-year-old Micaiah and her younger brother, Mayel, were enjoying the Halloween evening when the shootout began about 6:20 on the 5700 block of Hope Street in Olney. The teen was grazed, and the little boy was struck in the leg. Micaiah has since been released from Einstein Medical Center, but her brother was transferred to St. Christopher's Hospital, where he may require surgery to remove the bullet from his leg. Detectives are now combing through a maze of crime scene tape, searching for clues that will lead them to the shooters. They say at least six shots were fired from two separate guns. A container of candy dropped on the sidewalk could be seen inches away from the shell casing. That made me so sad.
I know.
The thought of that.
One of the most joyous nights for kids, yeah. And it's interrupted by this crap.
Yeah. I mean, fortunately, I heard the mom say this morning that, obviously she's happy that it wasn't worse.
Yeah.
Obviously wished that this hadn't happened, but both of her kids are still alive. But, I mean, so sad for these kids. It's not clear what prompted the shooting or what relationship the gunmen have with each other. Investigators are also looking at area surveillance to see if they captured the suspect on any surveillance video. They're asking anyone with information to contact police. There was also a second shooting, and they're looking now to see if they're connected in any way. Patients at a second New Jersey pediatric facility have been found to have a respiratory virus, but authorities say it's a different strain from the one that's linked to the 9 deaths. The state health department says there are 4 confirmed endovirus cases among pediatric patients at Voorhees Pediatric Facility in Camden County. But preliminary tests have ruled out type 7, the strain linked to the 9 deaths at the Winnaqua Center for Nursing and Rehabilitation. New Jersey health officials are sending infection control teams to 4 long-term pediatric centers and a hospital to assist with training in the middle of the viral and bacterial outbreaks that have killed a combined 10 people. One of the deaths at the Winnaqua Center was a young adult. A premature baby died in the middle of the bacteria infections at the Newark Hospital this month. After getting all that candy for Halloween, a lot of parents question what to do with the leftovers. Most kids won't finish the mounds of candy they received while trick-or-treating, or shouldn't finish all of it, at least. Some crafty parents can use the candy to bake treats for a party, but others may just throw it away. However, you can donate the extra candy, if you have any, to soldiers overseas. Several places, including dentist office around the tri-state, are teaming up with Operation Gratitude. They will collect the candy and then send it off to the soldiers. The website has more information about the Halloween candy give back.
It's a great thing that they're doing that. It'd be very cool. But I went back to get a refill on candy for trick-or-treaters, the second time, half the candy in the shelves had been replaced with Christmas candy.
Oh, already?
I swear to God.
Man, yeah, that's probably the system.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Boom, out, here we go. Next phase.
All Christmas stuff. I'm like, I can't give them things with Christmas trees and snowmen up, because they'll just think it's from last year.
What it's going to turn into. You're getting Christmas candy on Halloween. You can also call your local chapter of the Ronald McDonald House Charities to find out the rules on bringing unopened Halloween candy for the children who are and their families who are staying in those homes. There's also Soldiers Angels Treats for Troops. You can support a good cause that allows your kids to earn buyback prizes and receive a tax-deductible receipt for your donation. Finally, you can also donate the candy to Operation Shoebox, who packs up the candy year-round and mails it to the troops overseas. In sports this morning... The Flyers, who beat the Anaheim Ducks on Tuesday night, continued their road trip through California with a game in Los Angeles against the Kings. The puck drops at 10:30, and the game will be broadcast right here on WMMR. The Sixers also play a team from L.A. They take on the Clippers tonight in South Philly. The team announced that they have exercised the rookie scale option on contracts of Markel Fultz, Dario Saric, and Ben Simmons. As a result, all 3 players will be under contract with the Sixers for the rest of this season as well as next season. Tip-off for the game tonight is set for 7 o'clock. In soccer news, the Union have never won a playoff game in the 9-year history of the franchise, and that streak continued last night.
Right. Maximo
Morales scored and had two assists to lead New York City FC to a 3-1 win over the Union in an Eastern Conference knockout round match at Yankee Stadium. The Union have lost all four playoff matches in their 9-year history. In sad baseball news, Willie McCovey, the Hall of Fame first baseman who played 19 of his 22 seasons with the San Francisco Giants and hit 521 career home runs, died yesterday at the age of 80. The Giants said McCovey died peacefully after battling ongoing health issues. In a statement, Giants president and CEO Larry Baer said, "San Francisco and the entire baseball community lost a true gentleman and legend, and our collective hearts are broken. Willie was a beloved figure throughout his playing days, and in retirement, he will be deeply missed by many people he touched." McCovey retired in 1980 with the most home runs ever by a left-handed hitter in the National League. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you so much, Kathy. Welcome, my friends. And hopefully you had a wonderful Halloween. How could you not? It was such a beautiful
night. It was perfect.
Great night.
Loved it.
Yeah. So everybody is on their sugar and chocolate hangover today, or maybe alcohol hangover, depending on how you spend your evening.
You never know.
We were handing out adult treats.
Were you?
Sure, I got adult treats on my my walk through the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Our guest this morning, well, I'm sure you'll mention in a second, Preston, had a massive block party.
But there were... Everybody wore black.
Yes.
Dinner on black.
It looked like a really great time, and there were so many people milling about, but they had grills all set up, so it was a cool thing. So I'm sure that there are some people who are hungover today.
Was that Michael Barkan,
sure,
or was
it
Steve Winter, photographer of the National Geographic?
Well, I don't know if it's the National Geo, but my other jam is Black Party.
I don't know what Steve did. I saw what Barkan did.
All right, well, we'll talk to Michael later on this morning. We'll find out how his Halloween went. He's stopping by around 9 o'clock today. Yeah, we are going to have a photographer from National Geographic who's appearing at the Mirren Theater tonight, by the way, as part of their Nat Geo Live series. His name is Steve Winter, and those guys who work for National Geographic, man, they are amazing.
I'm very fascinated with that lifestyle and the stuff. I mean, they go into the most rural of rural remote areas to get these pictures. Nat Geo, of course, is the creme de la creme when it comes to scoring incredible photographs.
Yeah, the initial email that I got said, you know, like the opening line was like, he's been stalked by jaguars in Brazil.
Okay.
He's being charged by a grizzly in Siberia. I'm like, okay, we got to talk to this guy.
All right.
I want to talk to him about that fake anteater that got set up last year. Do you remember that story?
Yes, I do. In fact, won like a wildlife photography championship of sorts.
Yeah.
And it was stuffed.
The whole thing was faked.
Interesting. So he'll be in this morning, and we're also going to talk to our friend John Dornbos, who's checking in to promote his show at Sugar House tomorrow and Saturday night. So we have those things and more taking place. There is a screening tonight, and I want to go ahead and start giving these away now so I don't forget about it, because not only is it a chance for you to see a brand new movie before it's released, but also maybe win a trip to the actual premiere in Los Angeles. And Casey will be on board for it. It's called Instant Family. It is tonight, and it is from writer-director Sean Anders. He will be there with Casey at the Landmark Ritz East in Old City. Screening time is 7 o'clock, so you need to be there by 6:30. Now, if you want to win this trip, here's the deal. You got to stick around for the Q&A after the film, and you can register to win that prize. You have to be at least 21 years of age to win that, by the way, and that's airfare, hotel, tickets to the premiere, and a Paramount Pictures studio lot. So it's pretty awesome.
So just have a crack at that trip. All you have to do is hang around to the Q&A.
Yeah, so if you want to go to the movie, you and a guest can join. I'll take 10 callers at 215-263-WMMR, and we will add you to the list.
Nice.
It's just that simple. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. Stupid question. Entertainment report. We will do these things and more when we return. Stay with us, my friend.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly, or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Well, you know what we need to do? We have a new month. We have to turn the page on the Preston Steve Totally Office
That's
calendar.
That's right.
Forgot to do that. Yeah. Should have done that in the last break, but better late than never. This calendar was shot at the Valley Forge Casino and Resort. So we are ready to flip the calendar over. And by the way, we say goodbye in October. The lovely Samantha, who we had in the studio not too long ago, she did a pool shot. Now, this particular one was inside the casino and on a roulette table. We welcome to the month of November, Amanda.
Yes.
So turn that calendar over and take a look. She's actually laying on a roulette table.
An active roulette table. Man, with the gamblers upset.
And so we do two shots. If you've never seen the calendar, we have a main and then we have an inset calendar. And both of her pictures are fantastic. And it never overlook the inset shot.
No.
That's one of our favorites, actually.
Absolutely.
It's a smaller picture, but in this one, it's a hiney photo. A lovely hiney.
It's a tech term.
It is. So and we will have a new calendar before you know it. So get yourself set, and we'll have the details coming up on that. So a lovely, lovely day to welcome in Amanda to the month of November. We're going to do a stupid question today. We're going to give away a pair of tickets for the Museum of American Revolution, which is opening October 27th. Well, it's open now then. So the question that we have is this. What natural landmark does Prudential's logo depict?
Oh, sure.
Oh, I think I know.
215-263-WMMR. What natural landmark does Prudential's logo depict? Call right now, and we will see if you can get it correct. Today's birthdays. Steve, congratulations. You won tickets to the Museum of American Revolution.
Hey, that opens a couple days ago.
It does. All right, so today is Thursday, November 1st, and it's Anthony Kiedis' birthday of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
We were just talking about them performing years ago. It just sucks on their junk.
We were. Absolutely.
That was it.
Yep. And then, all right, so what I didn't really understand was why was he fighting with that guy at that basketball game of weeks ago?
I never heard the reason. He was fighting with the ref, right?
Well, he was yelling. There was an altercation on the court.
So all right, so the altercation on the court. So is this the one with the Lakers and there was a big.
Yeah, it was at a Lakers game.
Okay.
I don't know who they were playing, and I don't know who got into it or why.
It was Rajon Rondo and whatever. I don't even get. But so there was a fight on the court, and for some reason he got involved in it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, that's weird.
He was yelling at the players, and so they tossed him out.
Is this?
Kicked him out of there. I have a story coming up in Music News later this morning. They played Chad Smith's kids' school yesterday.
Is that wild?
The Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I want to say it might have been I'll have to check. It may have been an elementary school. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They're a little. Well, they would tone it down for an elementary school. Maybe they'd have longer socks.
They were dressed. No, they were wearing costumes.
Okay.
So, Anthony Kiedis, great front man, 56 years old today. Rick Allen, drummer of Def Leppard, is 55 years old today. Has one arm, and as far as I know, the only professional musician or professional drummer with one arm. There's got to be more out there, but none that have made it to that level of fame.
Have you ever seen his rig? I saw a documentary. Well, it was part of a documentary about the band, and they broke down his rig. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's all triggers with his feet. And I've seen him play live a few times with one arm and impressed. I was like, I thought he was a solid drummer when he had two, and the fact that he was able to do it with one is pretty damn impressive. So he's 55 years old today. Actress Toni Collette,
yes,
is 46 years old.
I just watched her in Hearts Beat Loud on the plane. It's a Nick Offerman movie, and I forget. Oh. It's really, really good. I can't recommend it more highly. It's if you like music, you'll enjoy this sort of indie mood music. But she plays sort of the love interest to Nick Offerman in the movie. Okay. She's great.
I saw you watching that because you were sitting in front of me.
Yeah, I started watching it on the flight over there. Fell asleep. No, I started watching it on the flight over, and then they had those technical difficulties.
Yeah,
and then I never started up again.
She's great. She can really morph into different characters, and she's shot a few films. Here in Philadelphia, The Sixth Sense.
Yes. And she's so good in The Sixth Sense.
And a movie called In Her Shoes were both shot here in Philadelphia. So she is 46 years old today. Larry Flint, who's been in our studio before.
What's wrong with that guy?
Has his birthday.
How come he's always sitting down?
Yeah, Bill Weston couldn't quite understand why Larry is difficult to understand when he speaks. It has to do with the fact that he was shot and he also had a stroke at one point and lived.
Guy's terrible on air.
And has lived a pretty hard life.
Yeah.
But he was here in his gilded wheelchair.
Yes.
In his gold-plated wheelchair. And he's an interesting character, but it's a little laborious to listen to him because of the way he speaks.
And Bill was right on that path, yeah. But I mean, he's Hustler magazine, and then there are a whole bunch of offshoot magazines that he's done as well.
Yeah. Man, and he always has these offers out there of loads of money for incriminating video or evidence of people having sexual exploits.
I think it's a standing. And they will determine, but he really favors politicians. I
mean, absolutely.
If he can get politicians.
That's mainly what he goes for. Yeah.
But I think it's $1 million.
And it's usually to point out the hypocrisy, of people who maybe...
Because they made my life a living hell.
Yeah, so Larry
Flint... Can't understand that guy.
And that movie, People vs. Larry Flint, is a great movie.
It is. And excellent.
Everybody's great in it. He's 76 today. And then the last birthday I saw is Jenny McCarthy.
Ah.
Kath, you still love her?
I did used to like her. I haven't seen her in a while.
Okay.
What is she doing
now? Our friend
does
a radio show.
Yeah, she's and Monkey Boy. Do you
have produces her.
Okay, yeah. I remember
he
works
with her. Yeah.
She's funny and attractive, obviously. She's 46
You know,
as well.
I think last year on New Year's Eve, she did not look like herself at all.
That's oh, yeah. No, I remember.
Right? You're right.
I mean, she was Botoxed up.
Yeah.
And it looked bad.
It was... Kathy, it was just because it was so cold out. That's
it had to be. Yeah,
her face froze.
That's why your face would stretch.
By the way, Press, I glanced over on Nick had IMDb up. The guy who not Tom Hardy, who's an Upgrade, it's his birthday as well today. And you saw that movie Upgrade, right?
Not Tom Hardy.
Yeah, he looks like Tom Hardy, but he's not Tom Hardy.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. Logan Marshall Green.
Yes, he's really good.
But he's been in a few things, Casey. You're right. Hang on a second, Nick.
He's in Prometheus, too.
Yeah, and he's also in, he plays a character in, he plays a Shocker in Spider-Man Homecoming.
I interviewed him
once.
There
are two different Shockers in the movie, so he's the first one.
He was on a show called Dark Blue for a little while, which was a TNT, I think, and he's really good buddies with Rob McElhenney. They've known each other as actors for a long time, and Rob spoke very highly of Logan Marshall Green.
Upgrade is a pretty wild movie.
It is a wild movie, and it's one of those movies where you think it's going to go one way.
Yeah.
It shifts, and it's one of those...
I don't know.
When it wraps up, you're like, oh, wow.
A guy is paralyzed, and he gets an experimental treatment done on him with AI type of thing introduced in his body, and it kind of takes over. But anyhow, I wasn't ready for it. It is insanely violent.
Well, the first
graphically violent.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Parker and I, my son, were watching it, and the first kill that happens, we were shocked. We're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
With a butter knife?
Yeah, it was crazy.
We had the writer-director in here.
Oh, we did?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And, I forget what I was going to say. Kathy,
we have
them both up here, pictures in the studio. Could you say one is better looking than the other, or they look like they're twin brothers, right?
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, they look different, but.
But they look like they came from the same gene pool.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
The same peepee.
Yeah, same peepee, maybe. And but Steve, he was also in a movie you liked a lot, which is Devil. He played a mechanic in Devil. I didn't know that. So
excellent.
So he has a birthday. Good one, Case. Glad you pointed that out. All right, we'll see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. And. What natural landmark does Prudential's logo depict? 215-263-WMMR, our number here. And we will go to Jerry, see if he knows the answer. Hi, Jerry. Good morning.
Hey, Jerry.
Jerry, are you there? Casey? You held up your finger. Like, wait a second.
I was going to pick my
nose.
Sit
on this.
You're going to pick your nose.
I was totally going to pick my nose.
So we don't have Jerry. We will try a different caller. Let's go to Fred and try him. Hey, Fred.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good, Fred. So do me a favor. Tell me what natural landmark does Prudential's logo depict?
The Rock of Gibraltar.
You are correct, sir. Hold on just a second. And we are going to give you a pair of tickets for the Museum of American Revolution opening October 27. Open now. The museum presents Hamilton was Here, Rising Up in Revolutionary Philadelphia. Limited run interactive experience tracing Hamilton's rise in the Philadelphia region. For tickets, you can visit amrevmuseum.org. Anybody here ever been to see the Rock of Gibraltar?
No. I have not.
Would like to. It's British territory.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's on the southern tip of Spain, and they got macaques there. They got
macaques?
Yeah.
Running all over the place?
Yes,
wild
they do.
Stuff?
Wild macaques, yeah.
Wow, okay. It's a beautiful property, or not property, that's not a landscape, I guess.
What would you expect to pay to this for this property? But, you know, yeah, it is of military, extreme military importance. Yeah. So.
All right, let's get into some of the entertainment stuff that we have here. The Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office will not prosecute Sylvester Stallone over allegations that he assaulted a woman in 1987 and 1990. The office announced this on Tuesday. The unnamed woman claimed that she had a consensual relationship with the Rocky star in 1987, but that he had assaulted her twice, and she provided witnesses to the DA. The office said that none of the fresh complaint witnesses corroborated the victim's allegations.
Well, there you go.
An additional investigation did not provide any further corroboration.
It's over.
Yes, Stallone. Nothing's over.
It's over. This one's over.
All right, so this one is
this one.
Over. Okay.
I'm going to make an exception. Asterisk. This one's over.
Stallone has denied the allegations, which also fell outside of the statute of...
Your Honor, I'd like to represent myself in court.
Limitations of laws.
He is now currently filming the next Rambo film, which I guess takes place in the United States. And so you see pictures of him, you know, looking like he walked off a Louis L'Amour.
Okay.
Yeah, cowboy look.
That could be cool because only the first one was in the U.S., right?
Yeah. That town, he goes to the town, they won't let him, you know, they give him the crap, and that sets everything in motion. Everything else, he was fighting the Mujahideen and
well, that, good. I'd reel it back.
Yeah.
From the outrageous. No, the last one was good. Yeah. I agree. I did like it a lot, but to have it a fresh take on it, bring it back here.
Bring it back. Give us a new angle. And because he had actually, at the end of the last Rambo film, as you remember, Preston, he was going back to sort of make amends with his dad.
Yeah.
And his dad is played by Wallace Shawn.
Boy, we were talking about Upgrade being violent. That movie.
Oh, my God. Wow. I love it.
Is it bloody?
Yes.
Man.
And there's that great, I mean, and he's playing this version of Rambo that is just, again, has had enough and is just, leave me alone. Yeah. And when he's telling them, you know, he's giving the advice on that on the boat, and they pass by the pirates. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, listen to me.
Yeah.
What did I tell you? Now, everyone sit down. I packed everyone some sippy cups and go-gurt.
So he will be working on that. In August, a clip of Keeping Up with the Kardashians made fans wonder if anything between the Kar-Jenner sisters would
ever... Oh, is that what it is now? Kar-Jenner?
That's what this writer says. Would ever be the same, though there were plenty of Kardashians watchers who smelled a desperate bid for ratings disguised as a bogus feud.
That's a cheap ploy.
Kim, Courtney, Khloe, Kylie, and Kendall. We're all together. They were all together for a photo shoot, but Courtney wanted to delay the shoot to fit around her dinner bed ritual with her kids.
Sheets.
Annoying, perhaps, but Kim, who, to be fair, had been trying to balance all of their schedules, completely flipped out.
So the Jenner... What's going on here? I have a schedule too.
Yes.
So... So the suggestion here is that the Jenner's daughters and the Kardashian daughters are not as friendly as they once were.
Well, yeah, in this particular episode.
Right. Okay, all right.
She transformed, it says here, into a fire-breathing dragon, and Kim shrieked at that Courtney was the, quote, least exciting sister to look at. So she could just skip the shoot.
Yeah, no one wants to look at you anyway.
An epic scrap, which appeared to replay itself again on Twitter when the episode aired.
How did? What did you just say?
Was launched pitting sister against sister. But on Wednesday, Kim put the feud to rest, posting a shot of herself and Courtney on Instagram, writing, "I lied. She really is the most interesting to look at."
Yeah, I said some things, and I'm not happy with what I said.
What I would like to see is them play, their tribute to the Deer Hunter.
Yeah.
Sit down.
Yeah. All right. There are three bullets in this gun.
Speaking of those ladies, despite cryptic social media posts that have fans forecasting the demise of her relationship, meaning Khloe's relationship with baby daddy Tristan Thompson, Khloe continues to show up for her man. On Tuesday, She was photographed supporting Thompson at the Cleveland Cavaliers home game at Quicken Loans Arena.
I don't know. Does this? I'm curious as to what the ratings are for this at this point in the Car Gen history. How is this show? How is Keeping Up with the Kardashians doing for E?
Yeah, good question.
It almost doesn't matter anymore, though. I mean, there's so many other business ventures that make them so much money that they've gotten all the exposure that they need. And they can just be successful with the, you know.
Oh, yeah. The show could end.
They're not going to be hurt by that. It'd be no problem. By the way, everybody freaked out for a second when a picture of Katie Holmes wearing a sparkler on her left hand ring finger hit the net. But no. She is not engaged to her longtime rumored love, Jamie Foxx. She was just getting ready for a role in a movie.
So it's no longer a rumor, though, right? They've been seen out canoodling in public.
There's been no admission from them. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yes,
no,
you're
no
right.
Confirmation from the couple that they are seeing each other.
I incorrectly associated canoodling with a full-blown relationship.
Yeah.
You can canoodle and not be in a relationship.
By the way, this ring is on her pinky. It's not even on her ring finger.
Is this the picture?
I don't know if this is the picture or not, Casey. But anyhow, her rep told Entertainment. She's getting ready for a role.
I said to Jamie.
Here's a name you haven't heard in a long time, Ricky Lake.
Oh, my God.
She tells People magazine that she knows how lucky she was to find true love with her ex-husband, Kristen Evans, who died by suicide at age 45.
I was just watching the movie Serial Mom.
Yeah.
And she plays the daughter in that. It's very funny.
I forgot about that. She was a John Waters fave.
Go-to, absolutely.
Yeah. She said, I had true, unconditional love, so I'd like to have something along those lines again. But I feel like lightning doesn't strike twice. They shared two children together, and while he struggled with mental health issues and ultimately died from them, Lake considers herself incredibly lucky to have had the time with him that she did.
But she wants... Yeah, how hard you get hit. It's how hard you get hit and get up again, Ricky Lake.
Yeah, so take advice from, that'd be Rocky, actually.
Yeah, not exactly.
But she wants to find love again.
I want her to find love again because I enjoyed her performance in Serial Mom, and I want her to be rewarded for that.
And she was great in Hairspray.
Do you remember her talk show was one of the... She was as close to a female Jerry Springer
as you
could get.
Yep. Dude, so I'm flipping through the channels yesterday, and Maury is still
paternity,
paternity test, right?
Doing the paternity test.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just...
That's insane.
There's a population out there that just loves that stuff and never get tired of it. Because
I told you, bitch!
It's been going on for 20 years probably, right?
Absolutely.
Listen, Maury, even Dr. Phil, when these shows come on and I watch these people on that stage, I go, why are you doing this on TV?
Well, we talked to him about that, and he's fully aware. In fact, he was laughing about it, and he can't even understand why these paternity tests are so huge. But that has fueled that show for decades now.
Steve, and I think the headline across the bottom of the screen was, I got my tubes tied. I can't be, it can't be my baby. Now, guys don't get their tubes tied, right?
Women do.
No.
Yeah. Right. Well,
and they're not tubes. They're vas deferens.
Yeah, I know, but it's not called tubes tied. Yeah.
No, they're not.
But the guy said, I got my tubes. At a glance, I had my fallopian tubes removed.
It's what it looked like to me.
That's what the dentist says. There's no, Maury, there's no way this kid could be my kid,
yep.
I had my fallopian tubes moved by my orthodontist.
Yeah, it's still just chugging along, man.
Yeah, I'm looking for it, but we played it all the time when it comes to 19-year-old Nikhila. Yeah,
yeah,
Preston, you are the father. But there are, I think at this point, literally every name has been. And instead of getting personalized jewelry, you should get a personalized paternity test from Maury. Yep.
All right, moving on. Pregnant Meghan Markle's sartorial choices.
Yes.
These are clothes?
Clothing, yes.
Okay, sartorial.
It's what she likes to eat at the food court.
Oh, okay, no. Frequently give fans a double take, generally for their stunning elegance, but some are wagging their fingers at the Duchess of Sussex for the skirt that she chose to wear on the final day of a royal tour of New Zealand, Fiji, and so on.
It was a full...
cooter shot.
Well,
it was up above her waist.
No, it wasn't. She paired a stunning royal blue Givenchy sweater with a sheer blue pleated skirt. So there was some see through to it.
Well, you know what? She has.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I see it. But she has had a higher than they usually like the skirts worn with members of the royal family, but nothing outlandish. Whenever she's out, but she still looks elegant,
but you can,
yes.
You can see the shape of her panties.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's a little sheer.
Yeah.
Can you see my turd cutter?
Let me ask you guys, does it matter that there are sexy photos of her on the internet to the royal family, do you think? Because, you know, when she did Suits and she did some modeling stuff.
There's a whole
stuff,
bunch of it.
Yeah.
And Nick, she had actually just done one prior to this whole...
To meeting Prince
Harry. Yes, and it's excellent.
And you know, the whole family received a portfolio of all of this stuff and said, here's what we're dealing with.
She's a beautiful woman.
If you need me, I'm going to be reviewing these photographs in my chamber.
How long is that going to take?
Whoppa, 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 whoppa. Fwap, fwap.
That's it.
Fappening.
Wappa, wappa.
By the way,
that's a royal family version.
Wappa, wappa, wappa.
The fap.
Why does this all have to rest on her shoulders? Like, why doesn't she have people looking at her going, yo, dude, I can see your panties?
But she makes the final choice.
Yo, dude, I can see your panties.
So, was it a wardrobe malfunction or intentional? That's the question. No one at the palace will say, but Twitter has opinions, some calling it stunning and haters slamming it as inappropriate.
Oh, shut up.
Still, others were quick to point out that this wasn't her first slip-up on the royal tour. In Tonga, she wore a red self-portrait dress bearing a tag.
Uh-oh.
Oh, she's doing just fine.
Yes.
And I think they need not concern themselves. And she presents very well for the royal family. People love her.
Listen, these aren't uproars.
These are
just little isms.
Yes,
these
exactly.
Are just things. It's no big deal. But it's fun to talk about. Better Call Saul actor, a guy named Todd LaTourette, is coming clean about his acting career. During a recent interview, he admitted to, believe it or not, cutting off his right arm, his own arm, nearly 20 years ago while he was off medications that he claims treat his bipolar disorder.
Do you guys watch Better Off Saul? I know you do, Casey.
Better Call Saul.
Better Off Saul.
I don't know. Harmless person.
He's only done one episode.
Oh, okay.
So he's got a prosthetic on the show, but he's been in several things. He's not a big name, but he's got some acting.
He was in Better Off Saul.
He said, "I severed my hand with a skill saw."
Oh my God!
The state of mind was a psychotic episode. He said, following the near fatal incident, the actor revealed that he began getting acting jobs as a war veteran after lying about being injured while serving overseas. While the lie helped him land his 2018 role as Skell on Better Call Saul, as well as parts on TV shows Manhattan, Longmire, A Bird in the Air, and The Men Who Stare at Goats, it has also brought him a lot of guilt. So he just works sporadically. But he said, I was dishonorable. He said, I'm killing my career by doing this. If anyone thinks this was a personal edification, that's not the case. He said, I'm ousting myself in the New Mexico film industry, and gladly. So just to say what I've said. He went on to explain that he hopes by sharing his story, he can spread awareness on mental illness and provide hope for those struggling with bipolar disorder.
Could you imagine taking a saw to your own arm?
No.
No. I couldn't imagine taking a saw to my pinky toe.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the power...
And mine are ugly. I would cut them off.
He said the power is in your hands to take your medication in the morning or at night. So that... This discourse of my life doesn't need to necessarily be yours because it happens quick. He said it happens very quick. A representative for LaTourette did not immediately respond to people's request for comment, but that's a crazy story. Interesting. So Snooki's go-to drunk food is asparagus.
Oh, really? It's not pickles?
Come on.
That's amazing.
No, it's not.
That is amazing.
During a lobster dinner with her roomies on tonight's Jersey Shore Vacation Part 2.
Oh, I didn't see one yet.
She claims asparagus is what she craves when she's had one too many. She said, and this is in her confessional.
No, I love asparagus as well, so she's got a kindred spirit in that. But does it mention anything about the pee?
No.
And how fast it makes your pee smell?
She said, I don't know. I just love asparagus, especially when I get drunk. I just want asparagus.
God almighty. It sounds great.
That's
in her confessional.
Yeah.
I have to confess something. I love asparagus, and I'm pretty good with broccoli, too.
The episode airs tonight at 8 on MTV, so sorry, spoiler alert.
How is that doing? How is this series doing?
I have no idea.
didn't even know it was on.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. when Hocus Pocus, starring Bette Midler, Kathy Najimy, and Sarah Jessica Parker first landed, it was dragged by critics almost across the board. But in the 25 years since, it's become a cult classic. Midler tells people at her annual Halloween charity event that benefits the New York Restoration. She said it was like an ugly duckling, a little creature that nobody thought could do anything, and now it's a swan. It's found its wings, and it's just flown away, and I think it's fantastic. People do now have a love for that movie.
It's a fun movie. It's not great, and it's but it has fun moments in it. They is the Troy. I actually think we talked about this. This is the best Sarah Jessica Parker has ever looked.
I think she's very attractive in it. So interesting, Casey.
Yeah,
exclusively for you.
Ooh.
Okay.
I'm excited.
I set this story aside just for you. Okay. Fans.
Quite an honor.
Thank you. Jim Henson, in search of some holiday spirit, traditionally reach for a Muppet Christmas Carol. However, there's a rare contingent of fans who tend to reach in the cabinet come every November and December for the truly underrated gem, Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The special originally premiered on HBO in December of 1977. Casey loves this movie. He's talked about it since we've been together.
Is it your favorite? It's your absolute favorite, right?
Oh, geez. Is it my favorite? No.
Rambo first.
Maybe I have to do a little list of my favorite Christmas movies, but I do love this movie because it's like not really even about Christmas at all.
It's like Die Hard.
No, essentially what happens is, you
know, Die Hard happens during Christmas.
Emmett and his mother live together. The father has died, apparently. Right. It's never explained.
His throat was cut by a hooker.
You know, they work hard just to make ends meet. You know, she's a seamstress, or she'll, you know, do wash. He does odd jobs around, you know, like fixing people's fences or whatever.
Everyone loves him.
So he needs the tools to make money. She needs her washboard to make money.
It's the gift of the Magi.
Yes. Well, and I didn't know the gift of the Magi. Yeah. So he sells his tools to win some contest. She does the same thing with her thing to win the contest. Nobody wins the contest.
And then he kills her with a drill.
Then he kills her with a drill.
I remember, Casey, I saw this once fully through. I thought it was really delightful.
Yeah.
But you love the songs.
I love the songs. And you also have to remember that I was also young when this thing came out as well.
It was your freshman year.
No, but it was in the 80s. I was, you know, probably less than 10 when I saw it for the first time. But it has aged well with me.
Okay.
Back to you, Preston.
It has never had a proper soundtrack. And on Friday, November 2nd, tomorrow, over 40 years following its original air date, the Jim Henson Company and Music Film Recordings will release the entire thing both digitally and on CD.
Wow.
It's the soundtrack, Casey.
You got to get it.
Yeah.
We'll play some stuff on the show.
Somebody had sent me something about a song that was never released before or never heard.
Well, I've got some information on that. Vinyl enthusiasts, by the way, you can get this on vinyl. You'll grab a copy of that on November 23rd as part of Record Store Black Friday. In addition to all 15 tracks from the film, the soundtrack also comes with a lost song that never made it to air. It also has extended liner notes featuring interviews with Henson legends like Frank Oz and Dave Goals, and a special note from songwriter Paul Williams, because he was behind some of the songs as well. And here's what Paul had to say. He said, the great thing about Jim Henson is that he never wrote down to his audience. He never asked me to write kids' music. But there is a humor in there that is pure Muppet. And I think that the inspiration came from the book, but it also came solidly from my exposure to Jim's style. And that's why you wind up with lines like, the sauce mama makes will stay there forever if you dare to get it under your nails.
If you dare get it under your nails. Well, sorry.
Hey, well, listen, I'm excited for you. This is wonderful news.
Casey, I want to feed you a line, all right?
All right, let's see if I can get it.
I'm hungry.
Oh, my God. No, I'm hungry.
By the way, Steve, it was based on a book by Russell and Lillian Hoban.
Mm.
It was made into the HBO special in 1977.
Do you know what the great thing is now, Preston? The time we live in, there are people, all these little things that you thought, I'm probably one of a handful of people mm-hmm. who really love this thing. these things come out of your past and you find out, well, there's a whole group of people who feel the same way.
Yep.
And that you have things like this,
yeah,
where it comes out of the blue.
Well, I think luckily for me, well, A, my little brother and I loved it. And then I had classmates that loved it as well. So, you know, we would, it was a movie that we would, you know, recite and quote to each other.
So, like, here would be one, Steve, that I've been embarrassed about the fact that I really liked this as a kid. And you probably did, too. And actually, there's a Paul Williams connection to it. Bugsy Malone.
Yes. Scott Baio. Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
The Machine Gun Shot Cream.
Mm-hmm.
Cream Puffs.
Cream Puffs, yeah, exactly. And Paul Williams.
Paul Williams and the music.
The music. And actually, so they had adults singing and the kids were lip syncing, which was the only really weird part of it, I thought.
It was a little weird.
But it was a gangster movie done with kids.
And Jodie Foster was the gun mall.
Jodie Foster was, yeah, she was like the vamp.
Yeah. Right, when was the last time you watched this movie?
I couldn't tell
20 years ago?
Yeah, it's been ages.
Yeah, why don't you go revisit it and see if it holds up? The reason Emmett Otter holds up with me so much is that I never...
Paul Schrader wrote the script, and he wrote Taxi Driver.
Oh, okay. But I never let it go too many years without me actually watching it. So that's why it's always and held up with me.
Also, yeah. Things tend to stand the test of time better if they're associated with the holidays.
Mm-hmm. And I remember the songs, too.
Do you really?
Fat Sam's Grand Slam, Speakeasy.
That's good. That's very good.
So Paul Williams had said, I think that sometimes we're at our best when we're trying to show off for somebody we really love, and I really loved Jim. By the way, Case, do you have any favorite songs? Because I have the full track listing. There's 16 songs.
Well, the mom song, we're closer now than ever before. And then her song, We're Closer Now. I don't
not
know the
as
names.
Close as you think.
You're not going to do any
River Bottom?
Yeah. That's all right. That's one River Bottom Nightmare Band.
There we go.
That is the go. That, but that's just, you know, goofy.
That's the rock of the.
The thing is, some of these.
It's not goofy. The kind of song a dignified otter would sing.
Well, Mess of Mama's Barbecue is a.
Sing it!
No, yeah. I'm not
going to say. It's just called Barbecue.
When you meet somebody that don't like soul food, they still got a soul. And it don't mean that you got no rhythm if you don't like rock and roll. But if you taste like mine, you like cider, not wine, and your very favorite thing to do
is get a pretty girl dancing to junk band music.
And a mess of my barbecue.
Barbecue.
Yeah. Barbecue. It's my story. Swear they never fail.
I don't know the words.
That was sung by Yancey Woodchuck.
Press, this is that part with the sauce. I never knew those lyrics. Okay.
And the sauce mama makes just stays here forever if you dare to get it under your nails.
So they're practicing. It's one of my favorite parts of the whole movie. So they're practicing, and then the River Bottom Nightmare Band comes up, you know, with their motorcycles and their cars.
They're the metal guys.
Oh, yeah, they're the metal guys. They're the bad guys, right?
Bad guys.
And they go, look at the birds up in the trees. And then the dude's like, hey, we're not birds. We're a jug band.
Do you want me to save the track list for later?
Well, dude, there's a lot of songs on there.
There's 16 songs on here.
I didn't realize there were that many songs in this movie.
Because I wonder if each one I mention, if you would be able to sing a line from each one of these.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You want to turn it into a contest?
I don't know. You know what? But I will hold on.
Let's hold on to it.
Hold on to it. All
right. A couple other things here. Tyler Perry is bidding farewell to Madea. Yeah, I know you're upset.
You think he'll have her killed?
Yes! That's my fear.
Madea's funeral or something like that?
The director said that it is time. He said, we're going to say goodbye in 19.
Her, you know the little beaded thing that holds her glasses on, Preston?
Yeah.
That's going to get caught in a wood chipper and pull her in head first. What's called?
He said, I don't want to be her age playing her. So Madea first entered the world in 1999 via his play, I Can Do Bad All By Myself.
Those movies, the last two Boo movies with Madea, did huge box office.
I said, since then, she has appeared in Diary of a Mad Black Woman, Madea's Family Reunion, Meet the Browns, Madea Goes to Jail, Madea's Witness Protection, and more. So he said, next year, and that is going to be it. One last thing. Clint Eastwood's camera operator, Stephen S. Campanelli, is going to direct Nicolas Cage and Kelsey Grammer in a movie called Grand Isle. It's a thriller following a gun-happy ex-Marine, who would be Nicolas Cage, living on a quiet island in Louisiana with his wife.
It's going to suck.
When he hires a handyman to fix a fence after he killed an intruder, and things take a strange turn, and a detective, who is Kelsey Grammer, has to intervene.
So there is a Nick Cage movie right now, Steve, and I'm sure you've heard of it, but it's like...
It's like a fantasy.
It's called Mandy? I think it's called Mandy.
Yeah, right.
And it's in theaters, but it's also on demand if you want to, you know, buy it
now.
Did
you watch it?
No, but I want to because I keep hearing like all these reviews about it. That
it's supposed to be
like,
pretty good.
It's supposed to be a fun movie. Like it's a revenge movie of sorts.
Man, that guy never stops acting.
He never does.
Yeah. I don't see him in that much, but we're looking at his credits. He's
It's based on the Barry Manilow song.
He's working 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I remember all my life. Looks like it's down as cold as ice.
Looks like he's got about 5 projects a year going on, according to his IMDb.
He's constantly working. I saw him in a movie that he... So he must have done like 5 movies this year where he and his wife, all the parents become like cannibal killers. There's some sort of rage virus that turns them into the cannibal killers, and they're going after the kids.
Huh. Interesting. I'm looking at the poster for Mandy. That looks kind of weird.
Tomorrow's just another day.
Yep. All right.
And this is about a dog, is it not?
That's what I always heard.
Mandy, yeah.
All right, let's do the clips. Creating the television show is a huge collaboration between a lot of people. And here, Jack Falahi talks about how he and the cast are always able to talk to the creators and producers of How to Get Away with Murder. Here we go.
Pete, our creator, opened his door to all of us and allowed us to come in and talk to him. So I have had conversations with him about it a bit. So it is collaborative in that sense. Pete, Shonda, Betsy, they always have open doors. So we are able to get in there and pick their brains.
Shut the f-
New episode of How to Get Away with Murder is on tonight, 10 o'clock. That's on ABC. Here's the next clip. Halloween may be over, but the CW Supernatural will keep you thinking about monsters and scary times. Here, show star Jensen Ackles talks about the opportunity that he and co-star Jarrod Padalecki have to play morphing characters. Here we go.
Jared's had an opportunity to play different characters and not just different variations of Sam Winchester, whereas Dean has only played different variations of Dean. And I hadn't thought about that until the script came down the pipe. And then I realized that this was uncharted territories, which I didn't realize that we had any of those left.
New episodes of Supernatural air tonight, 8 o'clock. That's on the CW. And there you go. It's my report in entertainment.
That was a damn good report.
Thanks, man. Hey, I got to mention that tonight, Marissa is going to be on the Philly tour. It hits Drinker's Pub, which is 1903 Chestnut.
Please don't.
Philadelphia, and that's from 7 to 9. Marissa will be there with Calendar Girls giving away Kelly Green Philly shirts.
Nice.
And a pair of tickets to an Eagles home game courtesy of Bud Light. So tonight at Drinkers, 7 to 9. Make sure you join Marissa. Don't miss your opportunity to win. We're going to take a break. Speaking of the Eagles, John Dorenbos is checking in with us this morning. Our buddy Michael Barkan is stopping by. And we're going to have a photographer from National Geographic actually appearing at the Merriam Theater tonight. Part of their new Nat Geo Live series. And his name is Steve Winter. Should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Take a break. Be right back. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. By the way, I want to give a little plug to a dear friend of ours, Damon Forte, who owns a restaurant called Manja.
Yes.
Which is right here in Wimbella Plaza. It's in the lobby, in the center lobby. And we've known Damon as long as we've worked here. And it's our sustenance in the morning and in the afternoon for lunch. And they're having their official grand opening today because they redesigned it. It's been open for a while, but, you know, you work the bugs out. And
you have a soft opening.
And now...
And now it's a rock-hard opening.
Having their rock-hard opening.
And it's, like, fancy down there now.
It's really nice.
It's nice. I love the computer systems that he has now, where you can just order, pay, and pick your food up.
Mm-hmm. And they have a wider variety of food and all kinds of cool stuff. So
much more seating.
Nick, what'd you say? They're having, like, massages down there today?
Yeah, man. I got chair massages. Steve,
pole dancing?
No pole dancing. Oh. Well, at least he didn't text that.
All right.
They got $200... and Manja gift cards, and most importantly,
yes,
free chair massages. And he says he will send up the masseuse.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, we could use that.
And as a special bonus, breakfast pizza.
Oh!
That's
Oh my God.
We haven't had breakfast pizza.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? We've had a conga line of meat meats.
When we were in London, we were talking to the band that we had by Nothing But Thieves.
Yeah, Joe and Don.
The first thing they say is, last time we saw you guys, you introduced us to breakfast pizza.
That was funny.
I mean, they needed to tell us. It had made an impact.
It's internationally famous. Yeah. So stop by if you're in Bala Cynwyd, stop by and see our friends. They're great. They're so good to us, and we love them to death. So Manja, it's right here in One Bala Plaza in the lobby, and get a free chair massage while you're there. Noticed something online last night.
Josh was back. He thought he could sort of skirt by and nothing would happen.
No,
that's not the way we roll with the noticer.
No, it's not the way we roll. Carney's Point Police Chief Gerard R. Krivda said that his department has received numerous complaints which were passed on to Delaware. The county's 911 call center has received at least 55 calls about apparently this mystery sound or music. And this was in October, and the largest number of complaints came on October 20th.
And it's been throughout the month, but it heated up on the 20th specifically.
Yeah, and so they did that on the 20th. There were 38 in total just that weekend, and so far they've received other noise complaints October 14th, 23rd, and 28th between 7:45 and 11:30 p.m. the area identified. That's the mystery sound.
What is that?
Did you hear it? Wait, listen. I hear it. No, the area identified by callers stretched from the Port of Wilmington north to Edgemoor Road, areas across the river from Carney's Point and Penns Grove. When troopers went to the area, they heard no music and were unable to find a source. Apparently, it's like some people say it's got like a heartbeat sound to it or a throbbing. Mm. Now, there was a video on the story that I read, and we have this, and I'm going to play a little bit for you and see what you think. But
all right.
I'll play it because I have my opinion. They hear the river, obviously, because they're right next to the water. So avoid the or try to disregard the slosher. Right.
Sounds like music.
Yeah.
What's your guess?
Not only does it sound like music, it sounds like it's slowed down. It sounds like somebody had slowed down, you know, the speed of which it was played.
I'm going to guess
that
perhaps there's, October, the outdoor haunted attractions.
Oh, all right.
Someone with a PA system.
You don't think it's aliens?
No.
No? All right.
It's either the haunted house.
Aliens, and we're here to say Delaware's number one for shopping today.
Yeah. Even they know.
That's intergalactic, man.
Tax free and the home of Bob Marley.
Yes.
It's intergalactic news at this point.
Can you get Total Wine?
Exactly.
Kathy loves it for Total Wine. We're Jupiterians. Out of here.
Jupiterians?
Yeah. The sound travels funny over water. And I think it was last year when the Eagles won the NFC Championship game, there was a town across the river in New Jersey.
Across and up. It was pretty far away.
And it was, but it was in a way that where the sound was able to, the waves were just able to make it to this particular area from Lincoln Financial Field.
Nick, do you remember the atmospheric conditions that night, too? I think it was sort of a hazy.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, so it was, whatever it was, the confluence of events made that sound carry for miles.
And it was fairly clear several miles away.
Hang on a minute. What? This video that we're watching, back it up about 10 seconds. There's a guy on Fox 29 who's commenting on this. Yeah. Steve, where do you see his name? I want you to experience it. Put it to the guy. It's
John Rambo!
It's a guy named John Rambo.
I think I know.
That they interviewed. That's awesome. I have no idea who he is or where he's from. Or
I've heard the sound once before.
Yeah.
It was in Saigon. It was the sound of the copters flying over the hills, strafing, machine gun fire.
He's a big dude, too.
He is.
Looking at this picture of him. Okay, John Rambo. Nice.
Jesus Christ. And look who's with him, Ace Ventura.
Oh, my God. All right, so anyway, I'm going to play some more of the audio here.
If Mama Sauce gets under your fingernails, it'll never come out.
Can you, Casey, do you have the ability to speed that up slightly? Or no?
Yeah, give me a second here.
Okay. Because I'd like to hear it if it sounds a little more normal if you bring it up speed-wise. Just a here little bit, is. Not the super.
Let's focus concerned. On what's important. I won!
It echoed down the Delaware River. It
very well could have.
When she won.
Yeah.
Delco versus.
All right, this is sped up.
All right. Stop it. That's amazing.
I've been living in Delaware for 35 years. It's like Predator. When the weather's just right, the dort snort returns.
That's all. I didn't know. It was,
the people of Wilmington call it the dort snort.
Dort snort.
You unpack three mother effer.
All right, let me try and speed this up for real, though.
Oh, that wasn't for real? Okay, all right. Hang on, let me go to a couple of calls while you're getting that set up, Case. I'm going to go to Laura. Hey, Laura, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Laura?
Not much. So I think I've cracked the code.
Okay please.
They're doing construction by our house. I live right in Yardley, and they are banging the pipes into the ground to make the bridge. That's okay. What that noise is.
That's what it's not what we heard. This is definitely not pipes banging together. So there might be another noise, I think. I'm not sure what this is, but so does it have like a steady beat to it, like a heartbeat?
A cadence?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Funny, though, but to that point, the way sound travels across water is a freaky thing.
You know what? Laura, do they do any work at night on that?
That's when they do it.
Okay, because it was between 7:45 and 11:30 p.m.
Preston, how are you going to keep people up if you don't do it at night?
Right, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. No, they definitely do. Yeah, I think that's what it is anyway.
Okay. Well, no, I think that's a good guess. Thank you.
We're looking for theories here. So it might be, I mean, you know, if you've ever heard a pile driver, that's like bang.
Yeah,
bang.
Bang. Bang.
So that might be
bing,
I don't
bing,
know.
Bong, bong.
It might be bing, bing, bong.
All right, I have sped the tempo up. I don't know what bing, it's going to sound bong, like, but
all right, let's hear it.
Oh, I think
it sounds like music.
It's music. Maybe I'd identify it.
Zubu, dabba, zubi. Zuba laba doobie.
I think that could be pipes.
I've never seen an otter play a jug bang.
What's that, Kath?
I think that could be pipes.
That?
You know, yeah, like if you hear it from like really far away and. Yeah.
Play it again. All you right. think it again?
This might be pipes?
I think it could be.
No.
Until it gets to that point.
Yes, I'm here. I'm hearing.
At one point.
I'm hearing definitely music, Kathy, distorted. It could be slowed down. It could be ricocheting off, a number of different buildings or whatever. Yeah. And then it's crossing the water. So its level of distortion is high. But there's clearly a musical progression to it.
Let me go to, I believe we have a police officer here in Kensbury. Jason, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Good, buddy. You with the police department?
Yeah, I'm with the Pennsylvania Police Department.
That's right. Okay.
The sounds that's affected.
Okay, and what do you guys think?
Listen, it's definitely music. Okay. I worked, I believe it was the 20th, the night that the initial complaints were coming in. And we could specifically hear Mexican music most of the night.
Okay.
It's coming from either a vehicle or a club or something.
Okay.
Is someone salsa dancing?
It could have been salsa.
Kathy's worried that she's missing out on the big salsa fest in Delaware. Is it possible that there are crews doing doing work, and they're just they have a booming sound system, and they're playing Mexican music.
So there is a dredge going right down the middle of the Delaware River that they're working on. Mm-hmm. It's so loud, and it's going for such a long distance. I can't see it being the dredge because it's right off our coast.
Okay.
The music does change. I mean, there's times where we've heard rap music. There's other times that it's, like I said, Hispanic music.
All right.
And there's fast and slow music. They got all eclectic taste.
So everything you could possibly want.
Hey, Jason, could it actually be music from the dredge itself? Could they just have a stereo that they're playing?
Well, that was our thought, but it's so loud. There's a town called Mannington, which is approximately 12 miles away from Pensgrove. There's times when they're hearing it.
Wow.
I can't see this dredge actually.
Well, because, and to that point, Jason, if you're on the site and it's that loud, your ears are exploding.
Yeah. But you're right.
I would think if we're that close.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate the call. But you're right, Steve, about, when sounds start to bounce off of objects and they travel down the water or whatever it may be, it may morph it a little bit, snort-dort it a little bit. And make it sound odd because why would they have complaints to go, we can't figure it out? I mean, it's, if it's obviously music, it's music. So you'd be able to tell.
From years of boating, Preston, when we were growing up, we were always out on the Long Island Sound. And there'd be times where you'd be there and you'd hear a voice that you thought was right next to you.
Really?
And it'd be people on the beach miles away.
Yeah, it can be very strange. Interesting. All right, well, it's a bit of a mystery. It's not over the top, but I thought I would bring it up. Wait, hang on. Does somebody know the name of the song? Was it the song? Okay, yeah, hang on a second here. Juan thinks he recognizes the song from the clip that we played. Hey, Juan, good morning.
Sorry to bother you guys at work.
Okay. Nah, it's all right, buddy. So what's up? You could recognize that tune?
Yeah, man. First of all, I'm a Spanish listener. I don't know if you have a lot of those.
Well, we do now. Thanks to you.
Love it.
I want to start that team up.
Okay.
Yes.
We will gladly accept that team.
Latin listeners?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Numero uno.
We can have a salsa party.
All right. We'll talk. We'll have yes. Okay. That's our next project.
All right. So, Juan, what's the story? What is that song?
Okay. I listen to rap a lot, and that particular song is called How It Feel, written just like that with bad grammar. And
How It Feel.
And the name of the artist is Money Man. If
okay.
you guys could search Money Man, How It Feel, and
okay.
compare both sounds, you will definitely get the
And okay. I bet you it's we'll playing on a work site.
We'll try it out.
Yeah.
Marissa's going to, I don't know, Marissa, you. She's grabbed the microphone here. You can't find it?
I can, but we cannot play this.
Oh, no?
Is there a radio edit?
Wait, Juan.
Don't get me wrong. It is extremely explicit, but off air,
all right.
you can definitely compare the words
off air.
And the beat.
Okay. All right, I trust you, Juan. We'll check it out.
Man, first time getting through.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Juan. Thanks for checking in, man. Take
care. I'm thinking Hispanic listener, Juan of Manny.
Juan of Manny. And okay. In fact, the second listener can be Manny.
Juan and Manny.
That's great. All right, anyhow, I noticed something else, and this
Ooh.
Is...
from the noticer.
Yeah, this
we
is...
cracked the code of the weird Delaware sound, and now he moves on.
This is pretty wild, man. This happened... we didn't talk about it yesterday because we were in all things Halloween, but, Whitey Bulger was killed, beaten to death in prison, and the top suspect of that killing is a former mafia hitman who's serving a life sentence. His name is... Fotios Freddy Gaez. So Fotios is spelled Fotios. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly or not. But Freddy Gaez, a career criminal and prison lifer at Hazleton Federal Penitentiary, and he's being eyed as one of the inmates potentially responsible for bludgeoning Bulger to death. And he hasn't disputed his role in the murder either.
Well, at this point, what are they going to do? And it was sort of a badge of honor because if you're unfamiliar with the story, there's a great documentary about Whitey Bulger that you can find on Netflix or all over the place. Or you can watch Black Mass, which is sensational.
They take a lot of liberties with the story.
Yeah.
Damn, is it a good movie.
At its core, it's what happened.
Possibly Johnny Depp's best role.
Oh, my God.
He's phenomenal.
Just unbelievably good. But the so this guy, this Whitey Bulger, held a certain part of Boston in his grip for years and worked out a deal with a shifty FBI agent. He was supposed to provide him with intel on other families and other crime bosses and was basically using the FBI to help him eliminate his competition. So they finally caught up with him years after he was down in Florida or wherever, and he went to jail as an old man.
Yep.
When he was beaten to death here, Preston, he was in a wheelchair.
Yeah, he's 89 years old.
Yeah.
So apparently, according to this private investigator, a guy named Ted McDonough, who is friend with Freddie Gayes, said that Freddie hated rats. He said Freddie hated guys who abused women. Whitey was a rat who killed women, and it's probably that simple. And he was aware that Bulger secretly served for years as an FBI informant while also running Boston's vicious Winter Hill gang from the 1970s through the 90s. So he was informing, but he was still also being a flat-out criminal.
Flat-out criminal, and that's the gist of the movie when you see what's happening. But so Preston, they were brutal, or he was brutal. Like, it may have been him, it may have been him and another guy. But they basically beat him with a lock.
Yeah, there were more than one attacker.
Yeah.
And he had been transferred to Hazleton just hours earlier. And, they used a sock with a padlock in it.
Oh, my God.
And beat him to death. Gayes, who is 51, is serving a life sentence at the maximum security prison for his role in the 2003 assassinations of Adolfo Big Al Bruno, one-time head of the mob in Springfield, and an associate named Gary Westerman. The lawyer who represented Gayes in the mafia killings wasn't surprised to hear his former client didn't dispute his role in Bulger's murder and said that he refused to identify any accomplices as well. He goes, he wouldn't rat on anybody. That's his attorney, David Hoos.
Hey, he's no rat.
He said he wouldn't.
He's no cheese eater.
He wouldn't rat on anybody, and he had no respect for anyone who did.
So they gouged his eyes out, at least one of the eyes, and they were attempting to cut his tongue out, or he was attempting to cut Bulger's tongue out when caught him in the act. So it's wild. And I just happened to see there was a video of Dana White, MMA.
UFC guy.
And I was telling Casey this story. So he had a Whitey Bulger encounter, Preston. He set up sort of a boxing, a trendy boxing gym for exercise, not really for self-defense or one of these studios.
Yeah, workout.
So he sets it up in Boston and starts to get some traction, though, pretty quickly. He says, within about 3 weeks, Whitey Bulger shows up with one of his guys and says, you owe me $2,500. And he says, well, why? I just opened. I don't have that. He goes, it's what you're going to be paying me every month, for the deal. And White does a little research quickly, asks around. He buys an airplane ticket to Las Vegas, shuts off everything at the place.
Closed up
and
shop.
Leaves. Left.
Good call.
Left.
Good call, man.
Wow. And this is a guy who's, can take care of himself, but did not want to F with that.
No, listen, it doesn't matter how big and strong you are. If you have somebody who has the determination and the drive to do something horrible, they don't have to be big and strong. They can do it.
They'll get you. And he does.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. We just saw the picture of this guy who supposedly beat him to death. What savages, man. We're just absolute brutes that just... So, lack of humanity.
You don't have that ability to look at people and see them as human beings.
Wow.
And in this documentary, they chronicle the lives of all these people that Bulger. I mean, Preston, there was a guy who was basically a shell of a man because he was so he had a business that he had to keep going to feed his family, but he was so savaged by this group, by this gang, that he had no. He had no will or drive. It was just horrible. And he got to see Bulger, in court and get sent away. But still, that's how do you get back the years you lost living in constant fear?
Yeah, yeah, that is just.
So the families, by the way, they talked to a couple of them who are, of the victims. They're thrilled, obviously.
That he was beaten to death.
Oh, yeah, they're thrilled.
I guess so, right? Because you think it's terrible to think about any 89-year-old who gets beaten to death, gets bludgeoned to death, but. This guy was the source of a lot of torment and murder and pain and fear that I'm sure there are people that are going, oh, thank God it's over.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
The line I keep coming back to is, was beaten beyond recognition.
Whoa.
I mean, that is just savage.
I don't know how you can get away with that. Like, in prison. Like,
they're not going to. They knew they weren't going to get away with it.
No, I know. Well, they don't have the actual...
Sometimes...
They have an idea of who it was, but, like, shouldn't there be cameras, like, every single corner
Yeah, but, I mean, sometimes it's like,
I don't know.
I mean, you saw Stir Crazy.
I did see it. I love that movie.
I mean, you got a good taste of what prison life is like, sure. Especially the rodeo connection. Yeah.
Is that the funniest prison movie?
It's way up there. When they go back to their cell and Grossberger's, and Richard Pryor's there.
I do like the jail scene in Trading Places. That's pretty good with Eddie Murphy.
What, when he's singing Roxanne?
No, when he's yeah. Like that guy's standing
behind. Trading Places. I was thinking about 48 Hours. Yeah, that's funny, but that's not a prison movie.
It's not a prison movie.
But and there's a part, yeah.
There's just one scene.
Really. Stir Crazy is, and The Longest Yard has funny elements, and that's a prison movie.
You're right.
Victory was pretty funny.
It was very funny.
That was funny.
I like to play soccer.
Yeah.
Murder in the First, you, Kevin Bacon.
You caught it. Football. Isn't that funny? You're so stupid.
That was the whole humor.
That is. There was a hole in the shower. I plugged it up.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I know. All right. Anyway. Listen, to make it an official noticer, we need to do at least three things.
The story from the noticer seals the deal.
I think it's my new rule. Do we have time?
Do we?
I'll do a quick one. Because sometimes I do two of them, and I'm like, that wasn't the noticer. That was me just passing along two stories to you. I think
the first two were very engaging.
They were. How about this? And the reason I bring this up is because the headline says, study says you can drink away your problems.
Oh, good. Perfect. I've been doing that anyway.
Study confirms it.
A new study from Brown University.
Can't be there with it. Yeah, she's using a... a vase for a wine glass.
Right.
I found the greatest thing. Sorry, I know you have the story.
No,
I found the greatest thing online, and I cannot for the life of me get it shipped here. It's actually in the UK, and they don't ship to the United States. If I had known, I could have picked
it
up.
What is it?
It is a champagne bottle advent calendar.
Oh, wow.
But you have to see it. It's made.
How big is it?
The little champagne bottles?
They're not like the tiny ones. They're like the half bottles.
Like a single. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Right. And so, it's like, I'm trying desperately to find somebody that can make
it. All
right,
let's see if we can look. Maybe somebody's traveling.
So I can drink my way through the holidays.
Can you contact a shopper? You'd have to pay out the ass for it, but somebody who can do that for you.
What, to pick it up?
To go get it and then ship it.
You know what I think
themselves.
It is?
I don't know how safely it would ship.
And I think
though.
It has something to do with shipping alcohol from there.
Hire an Advent donkey.
Because it comes with all of the bottles.
An Advent mule.
Yeah.
Is this it, Kathy?
Go to a Tipsy Tree is the name of the company.
All right. Okay. Well, let me get to the story. So,
thank you for calling Tipsy Tree. Thanks for placing this order.
Sorry to hijack your story.
Well, speaking of hijack, it says a study from Brown University researchers finds alcohol hijacks the pathway that forms memory on a fundamental molecular level. Specifically, it affects a gene involved with encoding whether a memory is pleasing or unpleasant and changes a protein the gene makes. One drink will affect the pathway for an hour, but three can change the pathway for 24 hours, which could explain your blackout state. Take the findings with a grain of salt, however, as a study was done on fruit flies.
Yeah. Okay.
And researchers note that while this change could affect memory and ease your troubles, the effect is only temporary.
Yeah,
so
because
I think it's tongue-in-cheek with the you can't drink away your troubles.
Okay. All right.
But you can get in a better mood. You can be altered for a little while.
You can inoculate yourself for a while.
But then the following morning, you're like, oh, my God. God,
I'm a fruit fly.
What did I say last night?
Oh, Jesus, I'm a fruit fly.
I forgot.
Well, at least I don't eat poop.
Did you find it? The Tipsy Tree
advent
with sparkling? That's cute. So can you just get the calendar and buy little bottles?
Why would you just want the calendar?
Because you can buy the liquor here and fill it.
So it comes as a package. It's like 140 pounds or something like that.
Yeah, that's very heavy. Do they have a wine? Do they have a wine equivalent to that?
They have like different boxes and stuff. I just liked that this was like an actual tree that kind of looked like a little decoration, and you could put it out.
I would get a wine advent for Claire Loves. You know, a nice glass of wine in the evening. I would gladly do that.
Yeah, they do. They have one that's like kind of like a box, and you slide out the wine bottle. Yeah.
Hey, Kath. My wife just texted me and said, "Tell Kathy that they're you can find them on Etsy and how to make them and stuff."
I know they
had
an Etsy. Yeah,
it'd be a winter activity. Or
I'm not going to be able to make this myself, but they had an
Etsy. Podcaster died attempting to make a box.
Yep. She saw the directions on Etsy.
They had an Etsy shop, but they closed the shop, and it says that it will reopen. So I'm hoping it reopens before the holidays.
I tell you what, we have a little ways to go before Christmas, and we're going to be talking about advent calendars down the road. But I bet you in these states that have legalized marijuana, there's got to be
oh my god,
bud of the day.
You're right.
You know, marijuana,
and it can look like a tree.
Advents, they could. Look
they could make it look like a tree.
It's going to be a green Christmas.
Great idea. Hang on, a quick call, then we got to take a break, Kathy. Here we go. Okay. Krista might have the answer to your problem here. Hi, Krista, good morning.
Hi, it's Crystal. Kathy, I don't know if this is going to work or not, but and I drive in, so I wasn't able to look up what exactly you're trying to get, but just last Christmas, I ordered a rum advent calendar from the UK.
Okay.
And shipped it to someone in Vermont, just drove and got it from them.
Do you know what, actually, is? And it's my wife went to Italy recently, ordered wine, and they delivered it to our home here.
Yeah, same with my brother.
They delivered wine to Pennsylvania, to our home,
and
two cases.
Yeah, maybe it's just the company doesn't ship it here or something like that. Wait, I don't know.
They might not. Yeah, I went to, there was a clothing store that I went to, and they said, we don't ship to the U.S.
Yeah.
To the U.S. at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it wasn't just Pennsylvania.
No, we're in America.
I should have told them that.
Because I wasn't sure if it was a Pennsylvania thing, because obviously you could do it with Chuck.
Yeah, I think the rules have changed a little bit on Pennsylvania as far as the liquor and having it delivered.
No, you live where that constant dort snort plays.
Dort.
All right, anyhow, these are a couple things that I noticed. I just wanted to pass along.
Three stories from the Noticer.
Yeah.
It wasn't even going to be the Noticer.
No.
This was a found Noticer, as they say.
All right, we need to take a break, and as we do so, I'm going to give away a few more of these. We have a handful left for Instant Family. Screening tonight, by the way. Casey's going to be there. It's 7 o'clock. You need to be there by 6:30.
Just right. Add Wahlberg.
Writer and director Sean Anders is going to be there. You can win a trip to the L.A. premiere. If you go to this tonight, you have to be there for the Q&A, which is afterwards. So keep that in mind. You have to be at least 21 in order to win the trip so you and your guests can register for this. So if you'd like to go, let's take 8 callers at 215-263-WMMR. Remember, it's tonight. So don't call if you can't go. And it's in the city. So it is going to be at the Ritz East in Old City, the landmark Ritz East in Old City. Need to be there by 6:30. Call now. We'll put you on the list. 215-263-WMMR. Coming back with the Bizarre File. So stay with us.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, November 26th at Xfinity Live. The business challenge is such a big part of Camp Out, and props to Subaru of America for leading the way in challenging other companies to get involved and make a difference. Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer, is encouraging any size business, large or small, to donate. One business will be selected at random to receive a Canon full-color copy, print, and scan image runner advance. It's a 36-month lease with service from Heritage. The Preston and Steve live broadcast from your place of business is still up for grabs for the largest donation. Go to WMMR.com/campout for a list of especially needed food items and all business challenge details.
Marissa is out tonight. It's going to be a beautiful night to be out, and she is going to be at Drinker's Pub as part of the Philly Tour. And Drinker's is at 1903 Chestnut, so 19th and Chestnut. 7 to 9, she'll be there, and she's going to be there with Calendar Girls. They're going to be giving away Kelly Green Philly shirts and a pair of tickets to an Eagles home game, courtesy of Bud Light.
Marissa is a wonderful host for these things. So yes, go down and have a good time.
And she's a huge Eagles fan, so she's all over this. So join her tonight, 7 to 9 p.m. Real quick, we have a new Daily Rush video up, and it is at Performance in Studio, the Glorious Sons, when they were here.
Very good performance.
Yeah. They played Sawed Off Shotgun, and that's the what we have on there right now. So you can watch it now, PrestonSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So when you get a chance, take a look. I got some Bizarre File stories, so let's do this.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre.
This morning, it is brought to you by McGuff Bus Company. Do you have your New Jersey CDL and are you looking for a change? McGuff Bus Company offers guaranteed hours, health benefits, and they pay industry top dollar. Visit McGuff Bus Company. Visit McGuffBus.com for information. So, a woman in Pennsylvania is facing attempted murder charges after stabbing her husband multiple times because she wanted to prevent her husband from using medical marijuana.
Uh-huh.
Palma Conrad, who is 70 years old, is facing attempted murder, attempted homicide, and two counts of aggravated assault. On October 29th, around 7:20 a.m., Conrad called 911 and reported that she had just stabbed her husband at their home. And upon arrival, police found Conrad covered in blood and with a black eye. She told officers that she had stabbed her husband and he was lying on the floor inside the residence. Conrad was placed into custody. The victim was found to be spitting up blood and said that his wife had stabbed him in the chest, face, neck, and mouth.
Because he was using medical marijuana?
Because he wanted to use medical marijuana. He was flown by helicopter to York Hospital and is listed in stable condition. Police found a significant amount of blood in the living room of the home and found three knives covered in blood.
So what was her issue with that?
We never really did find out. While interviewing Conrad, she told police that she had become angry with the victim because he wants to use medical marijuana.
Does he have a pain situation or?
I don't know. She told police that the two argued about it when she got a knife and stabbed him.
My argument is sort of weak, so I'm now going to switch to a knife.
Conrad said that the victim was sitting in his chair in the living room when she stabbed him and said she didn't know if he was asleep or not.
Let me get this straight. You're stabbing me for marijuana?
After she proceeded to stab him, Conrad said that the victim told her that he was dying and she called 911. Conrad was interviewed a second time where she explained again that she was upset and sick of it when discussing the victim getting medical marijuana. She admitted to police that she had thoughts about killing her husband for the past month or so. And the
shot me when I wanted a hot tub.
And the idea, quote, rattled around in her mind.
Oh, boy.
Conrad.
Maybe she needs some pot.
Admitted that she was disappointed that he was still alive.
This is a real bummer. You're still talking.
And she is facing charges. Wow, ma'am. Okay.
Don't you dare spark up that spleef.
A suspicious package. I love this story, by the way. Okay, so, Casey, have this ready to go right here.
Got you.
A suspicious package discovered outside the Duke University building in uptown Charlotte on Tuesday morning turned out to be a cassette tape. Now, officials say the call came in just before 6:15 a.m. from concerned employees in the mailroom. The package was described as being a small manila envelope, handwritten and addressed from out of state to Duke Energy. Police and the bomb squad investigated the package, which contained a cassette tape by the band Journey. So that was it. So I'm wondering if it was, what is this? I've never seen something like this before. Or just the package looks suspicious. But employees in the mailroom notified police, who cleared the scene, shutting down roads. A canine unit was also deployed to the scene. The initial discovery sparked an investigation, causing the building to be evacuated and road closures in the area.
I mean, Steve Perry coming in via helicopter. He should be there on site within a half hour.
He's there
just to provide guidance.
Talk him through it.
That's the song, the first single.
I guess maybe with the nut job that sent out the pipe bombs recently.
Everybody's
under heightened security. Yeah. So
especially when it comes to the music of Journey.
Please. And you would think that would bring us all together. But, all right. A severed cow head with a cigarette in its mouth was found in the middle of an Anaconda Road on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
So Anaconda is somewhere in the American West. I'm not sure exactly where. Ranchers Daryl and Shauna Rogers called police to report the butchering of one of their cows.
When they got to the site, they described it.
Oh, no.
As.
Why do I never see these come?
An utter catastrophe.
Yes, they did.
Sure did.
And I never even think about it when I'm gathering these stories and getting them set to go.
Yeah,
you would think.
All right. It's
20
right
years old.
Yeah.
That I might know. That we're going to get
the joke that's going to come.
All right, so Jesus, here's a picture of it. By the way,
yeah,
up on our monitors here.
Now, were they able to reattach it successfully?
No, they were not. Shauna said that she and Daryl lease state land for their cattle. The road is frequented by hunters and cattle ranchers, which is how they found out that their cow was dead. Someone came to their house to tell them after seeing its head in the middle of the road. The couple found the cow's head with its tongue missing and a cigarette in its mouth. Near it, they also found a cow elk head severed in a similar way with a Red Bull can next to that.
Mm.
They said, we have no idea why anyone would do this. Shauna said, poaching to fill their freezers is the only guess that we have. The ranchers and police only found the cow's head, no body or gut pile.
This is a warning from Vito Corleone.
So there are no suspects at the time. So they think they you know, somebody stole the livestock.
Yeah, and that's what they did, yeah. Sent meat, a message. So.
Yeah.
And smoking kills.
The Bay Area Rapid Transit, also known as BART, has heard its fair share. And this is in San Francisco, by the way. Has heard
San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Love that town.
Tony Bennett, ladies and gentlemen.
Corner to corner in human poop. I love it.
Well, BART has heard its fair
Charlie
share.
Charlie cars and the Rice-A-Roni. The Golden Gate Bridge and knee-high piles of human crap. And tent cities, hobos shooting up on the sidewalks. I miss it so.
Well, let's add something to that because BART has heard their fair share of stories and of unusual.
Are they crapping on that now?
On his trains. Well, I'm sure they are. But one woman's tweet Monday prompted BART to respond, "We've never seen anything like this before." The woman tweeted video to the service, which showed a man holding a chainsaw before opening another box that contained a second chainsaw. She tweeted, "I had to film it just in case it got sick." He kept calling himself the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and then said he was the BART Massacre. BART responded by saying, "We've never seen anything like this before. The best thing to do is to snap a pic and send it to dispatch via BART Watch app. You can also go to another car and alert the train operator using the intercom." BART reported police had received multiple calls about the incident and officers positioned themselves to board the train when the man got off of the train.
So these were real chainsaws and not dummy?
They were. Here's the deal. They were electric, though. But
yeah.
There's something behind this, though. So the man, they got on the train. The man identified as 47-year-old Patrick Bingham of San Francisco was taken into custody for having several outstanding arrest warrants for making threats.
So okay.
This is what this guy does.
He drives around, yeah.
He was booked into the county jail, and he admitted to waving the chainsaws around but said that he was playing.
I don't like to see this.
But the chainsaws were stolen, too. So he's an idiot.
I have no need to be threatening in a city that's bathed from corner to corner in human crap.
Yeah, you don't need to do that. All right, and there you go. That is what I have for you this morning.
It's a crazy person.
In the bizarre file. All right, so let's take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment. We have a few guests on the show today. Our friend John Dornbos is going to be checking in. Michael Barkan from NBC 10 or NBC Sports Philadelphia is going to be here. And we have a gentleman named Steve Winter who will be here shortly. He's a photographer with National Geographic and is part of the Nat Geo Live series that's going to be at the Merriam Theater tonight. Sure, he's got fascinating stories. Talk to him in a moment. Stay with us. We will be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Foo Fighters. Alice in Chains. Godsmack.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you very much, Kathy. We love having interesting guests by with interesting stories, and this gentleman has no shortage of that. Let me give you a little bit of his background. He specializes in wildlife photography, particularly big cats. He has been named BBC Wildlife Photographer of the Year and BBC Wildlife Photojournalist of the Year. Was a two-time winner of Picture of the Year International's Global Vision Award and won first prize in the Nature Story category from World Press Photo in 2008 and 2014. And he's here in our studio. He's in town for On the Trail of Big Cats, Nat Geo Live Series, which is at the Merriam Theater tonight at 8 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Winter is here.
Yes. Well, thank you all very much.
Nice to see you, Steve. Absolutely, yeah. Man. How long ago, now, you've probably been taking photographs most of your life, but when did this become your specialty, big cats and nature and all of that?
It's kind of by accident, but it was about 21 years ago I started on big cats. I started at Nat Geo as a photojournalist doing people, it was about 21 years ago. I talk about it tonight because people say, how'd you get involved in big cats? And it definitely was kind of by accident. I always say I didn't choose big cats. Big cats chose me.
What was the flash point where you found, okay, this your first encounter? Were you sent on assignment by Nat Geo to go cover something and you realized?
No, I didn't realize. Yeah. I was laying in bed reading my book like I do every night in the middle of nowhere in a cloud tropical forest in Guatemala and the stairs creaking.
Yeah.
Floorboards creaking. I figured somebody was coming for me. And then I heard scratching under the door and then sniffing. And I was scared to death.
Oh, my God.
And I got on the radio and asked the guy I was working with, who was, I made him stay down the mountain to take care of his brothers and sisters. I said, I can hang up here by myself. And I radioed down. He said, don't worry, Steve. It's just a Black Panther. Oh, my God. Seriously, I didn't know nothing about big cats. Now I'm the big cat expert.
Isn't that what? So, but you've gotten yours through attrition, but in a way that is, it's very tactile and very visceral. So your knowledge is probably, I mean, there are people who have book learned and have, you know, gone to school for this. You've been in the thick of it all the time, having encounters like that. There is, your pictures are phenomenal. And of course, it goes without saying. But there's so much more now with tech and so on and so forth, and with the nature of cameras and what they become, people can take pretty good pictures, but there's still the art of knowing when and where and how and all of that. And so you were given a camera when you were a young man, right? And started taking.
My dad gave me a camera when I was 7,
and he was a photographer as well, or had
an
interest.
Just an amateur, you know, camera club type of thing. And then when I was 8. I decided that I wanted to be a photographer for National Geographic, but that's what my show's about, because how many of your listeners out there are going, hey, I always wanted to be a photographer.
Yeah.
We all did, you know.
Well, I think this is a key thing and why this show would be. Yeah, I think everyone who thinks they have the ability to my point is, there are tricks and things that can up your game dramatically that we just don't know, you know. People fancy themselves good photographers, but you look at the stuff that you do. You know, I mean, to get insight from you is every reason for anyone who has a fascination with photography to attend the event.
Well, I'm really lucky, probably one of the luckiest guys on the face of the earth, to be able to realize my dream and do something that I've wanted to do since I was a kid. And we have great support as far as the tech stuff. I just came from Geographic last night, and I was down in the basement with all the tech guys. They're showing me new things that we're going to do on a lion.
Wow. Jeez, you know. Well, that's amazing stuff. Yeah.
So you mentioned how everybody wants to be a photographer, and now everybody pretty much has a nice camera in their pocket at all times. And with inventions like Instagram, can share it with the world. And you can too, and you do on your Instagram account, which is a Steve Winter Photo. I'm wondering what your perspective on something like Instagram is, because it does make it accessible for a lot of people, but it also completely opens it up to everybody. And so it dilutes the product a little bit as well.
Well, we're the number one brand on social media, Nat Geo. Go on our Instagram. You'll see one of my pictures will be posted today talking about something that just happened. But I love the fact that everyone carries a camera with a phone in it. That's the way I think.
Sure.
Yeah, people used to say, oh, it's going to dilute the importance. No, it makes people more visually literate. Oh. Keep photographing your food, because every time you do it, you're going to go, you know what, I could do it this way, and it makes it a little bit better. They're more appreciative of art and photography because everybody's doing it.
Do you have your work stolen a lot on social media?
Don't care unless it's used in a bad purpose, because the more it gets out there, like my photograph of the Hollywood Cougar, the mountain lion under the Hollywood sign, I give it away because they're building the world's largest overpass right north of LA because of the image. So people use it, and it's like, as long as it's for a good cause, but we can't, you know, spend hours every day perusing the internet and trying to figure out who used your pictures for what.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't happen as often as you think. So I like my pictures being used.
Steve, I want to talk about photographing wildlife, and it's obviously taken you some very exotic locations throughout the years. If someone really wants to get to this level, what kind of physical shape do you have to be in? Because you don't just, you know, stay at the hotel and walk over there and go take a picture. You've got to get deep down into some recesses and some places that are probably really, really hard for a human being to get to.
Inaccessible.
Well, you'll see that tonight. like on Snow Leopards, I knew it was going to be a killer assignment. I love jungles because they're primarily flat.
Yeah.
Mountains, you got to walk up, then you go down, then you got to walk
it's
up.
It's the nature of a mountain, you know? Right?
I don't like that.
Yeah.
And it's 50 below zero at night, and it was exhausting. I mean, to the point of we had to stop, and I never take a day off, you know.
How does that affect your equipment, too?
I want to go.
Yeah.
Well, I remember asking Cannon, hey, what's the batteries going to be like at 50 below? And the guy turns to me and goes, tell us when you get back. And I was like, that's not the answer I was wanting.
But it's such a romantic thing to us, and to Preston's point, to go to areas where, you know, where people have not gone before in many cases, to be the only white man that a certain group of people has never have ever seen before. You know, it's, but with that comes a whole host of, as Preston says, physical demands and security issues.
Well, yeah, and there's another one too. I will say that I started at Geographic because of my work at UNICEF. So when I have been in places where there's kids that look at you with wide eyes and then scream and run away because they've never seen anybody with blonde and not white hair. That's kind of, you know, bad. It doesn't make you feel good. But I am in the middle of nowhere, but the biggest problem, people always say, have you been attacked by these animals? And I say, every time I go out, you're in a situation, a mistake situation. Turn a corner and you're face to face with a lion or a tiger or whatever. I'm still here. It's the tropical diseases and parasites and amoebas and the microscopic things that have really
your biggest
changed fear. My life for the worse.
And do you have any lingering effects from travels?
I'm deathly allergic to 3 antibiotics now.
Really?
And I will get, you know, like bitten by something. I've been to Africa 3 times this year, and something stung me going to the bush plane, and I had an allergic reaction, and we have no idea what it was. Nobody saw, but
God Almighty.
It's just the lingering effects of self-medicating. You go on these expeditions. I am out for 2.5 months at a time.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be helicoptered out, so they give us a whole medical kit.
You got to carry your medical records with you, I would imagine.
Yeah, we had a do-it-yourself tracheotomy because it's like, I'm not
dying.
That's
my specialty.
I am not dying.
At least I believe it would be my specialty because it seems fairly simple. But in that level.
No, I've never met anybody talking about that before. My son thought I was a weirdo.
It comes up.
It just
more
seems so easily. Yeah. And I think if you want to impress people at a party, perform a quick tracheotomy. No, but to that point, okay. So you're going to get, and obviously you're going to expand on this stuff. You know, when you're doing your presentation. But when was the moment you felt okay? I'm checking out now. When did you feel that you were the most in danger in your travels?
Well, I could, you know, so many things have happened throughout my career that, you know, like I say, every story, you can't breathe, your heart's in your throat.
Yeah.
And it's like, am I going to make it out of here, you know? And you see guys running away from elephants that are charging us or rhinos trying to kill me. And you know, most of the cats, they don't care.
Yeah.
They literally do not care.
Meaning that you can be there photographing and they're nonchalant or
we're not food to them and haven't been for millennia.
Okay.
We stink.
Yeah.
You know, realize that, you know, I mean, you don't have any hair. But most people use shampoos and toothpaste and deodorants and colognes.
It's funny you should mention that.
We do not smell like food because when people first saw the images from Griffith Park in L.A. and go, there's a mountain lion. 20 million people go to that park and want to go up to the Hollywood sign. And P-22's only been seen 5 times in 5 years. No desire in 9 square miles. Yeah. And, you know, so don't worry about it. You have more problems with the coyotes that see your little poofy dog there that want to come after it.
Let me
but
ask
for
you.
Us as humans, no.
About that, because it's very funny. And I told my wife this about why we are unappetizing to my house cats, my domestic house cats. When they're in, I'll always have 2 or 3 circling or, you know, and when I'm in the bathroom in the morning. But when I put on my deodorant, they leave. Right. And I had to associate it because it has sort of a flowery smell. And you say that's one of the reasons we don't come across as food to them.
Right. No. We don't smell like something they want to take a bite out of. So that's actually in our favor.
All right. But you've been stalked by jaguars, right?
Stalked by jaguars and...
And you've been charged by grizzly bears. Oh, and right?
That 12-foot, not a, just a grizzly bear. It was like a Kodiak bear in Siberia.
Kodiak, oh. Super huge bear.
Now that 12, thing would have...
Over 12-foot tall.
Jesus.
Scared me to death. She had three little cubs. That's why she smelled me.
Yeah.
And
would she have eaten you or just killed you?
Immediately killed me.
But would she have eaten you afterwards, do you think?
I doubt it, you know. Mm. She would have gone, oh, this guy tastes terrible. It was salmon season, so it's like, why eat this terrible-tasting person when there's salmon everywhere?
Right, right.
Spawning salmon, so literally they're in front of you dying, and they just pick them up.
But how did you get out of that situation?
She saw me and immediately took a left, and I looked right next to my head. Then was a double barrel shotgun, one of my guards.
Okay.
And he looks at me and goes, 1 second dead, because he didn't speak much English. And I'll never know whether he meant me or the bear.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
I think he meant you, Steve.
Yeah.
Wow. Did he shoot?
If he shot, I wouldn't have been able to ever hear out of my right ear again. Okay. I wanted to ask him if I spoke Russian, why was the gun so close to my head?
Yeah. maybe he was going to shoot you, leave you there so the bear would have something to distract him.
So he could run.
I've heard time and time again that the bears will protect their young. You see the cubs, you know, get out of there because the mom's going to come after you. And so is it not the same way with big cats?
It's 100% the same way. I've just been very lucky. It's hard to see them. I mean, when you're in Africa, we're in a jeep primarily. We do walk also, and you just have to watch it. If you come upon a pride of lions that have young, you're going to back off.
And they're stealthier, and they blend in better. Correct.
Well, yeah, but we just have to really watch it. That's the only place where we do carry a gun and are armed in Russia and then in Africa. In India with tigers, no guns.
I mentioned this earlier on the show, but there was a lot of controversy earlier in the year with a wildlife photo that won a contest, and it turned out to be faked. It was a forgery, and the guy stuffed an anteater took a stuffed anteater, right. Put it on a termite mound, and then they won this contest. It turns out it was not alive. It had been dead in a museum. What are your thoughts on that and that controversy and what happened there?
Well, you know, these things happen now and then, and you just have to really be aware of the person's background when you're going to award them a prize.
Were you aware of what this person's background was, and was it
shady? If I was a judge in that contest, which I have been in the past, I would have checked it out very thoroughly, because we do not bait.
Yes.
Even though I'm after the rarest cat on the face of the planet, we have enough time to be able to photograph, and I do TV on every project now also, and film. Even the Hollywood cougar, I filmed it myself. I mean, it took 15 months to get one picture.
Wow.
So
that was gonna...
we have the time to do it at Nat Geo. And if we can't,
yeah,
then we'll just not do it.
I just thought the Hollywood cougar was Joan Collins' present.
I was going to ask about the patience that it takes. And by the way, real quick, let me reset. We have Steve Winter, who's here, photographer, National Geographic, and we'll be at the Miriam Theater tonight at 8 o'clock for this event that is called On the Trail of Big Cats, Nat Geo Live series. And tickets are available. You can get those at KimmelCenter.org. But the patience, I remember seeing a documentary one time about these photographers going out to take pictures of wolverines. And the extent that they had to go to, because of their sense of smell, was so keen that they had to be in these certain huts that had these really long tubes that would send their scent way up in the air so that these animals couldn't detect them, and they were able to get pictures of them. How much does patience have to do with what you do?
On my first story, that one where the jaguar came to my door,
yeah,
I think that was the last time I ever sat in a blind because I went, this is a waste of time. Let's use technology.
Okay.
To figure out if I find a spot on a trail that I know a jaguar walks or a snow leopard walks, I'll put a remote camera. I'll use a stand-in for the cat, as I did with the Hollywood Cougar, and I'll put a camera trap up, very sophisticated camera, the same height I would put it, same compositional place where I would want the cat to break the beam is where I put this infrared beam that as soon as it breaks the infrared beam, takes a photograph. I'd rather be out doing something else. As soon as I go into a park, let's say on tigers,
right.
I go to the guys on the ground or the mahouts on the elephants, anti-poaching patrol, and say, show them some images and say, if you were going to put one of these, you know, contraptions up, where would you put it? You ask the guys that are on the ground. They know.
Yeah.
And like they said, this water hole, I got the most incredible images.
So you're,
but
not,
you're on the ground.
Are you remotely taking the picture, or you just let it autonomously?
Infrared beam does.
Okay.
And that first frame is mine.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you want the cat's going to come this way or this way.
You pre-framed the picture.
Yeah, and lit it. And
that's
all
wild.
That kind of stuff.
Lit it. That's amazing.
Because I don't want to. It's not worth my time to spend 8 hours every day sitting in one spot.
Yeah.
And then shoot it with a long lens. That's a portrait. I don't shoot portraits. I want to see the animal in its habitat and
okay.
its behavior. So you find spots on a kill. We'll go to a kill when the cat's away going to the bathroom or something. Or
yeah.
You move them off the kill and then set up a trap. And you get incredible images and video of them feeding real close. We even have a carcass can that we stick in the belly. You know,
Jesus.
And it gets all
wow,
you know, disgusting after a while, but you get a different view because how do we get more people to look at wildlife again and look at big cats? We need to do a better job.
So it's not like that the Sean Penn character in Walter Mitty where he's on the side of a mountain. Did you ever see the movie?
Well, yeah, they actually took part of the video that I did on snow leopards, and it's actually in there.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm the only person that's ever done that, so that was me.
Wow.
You know, and we won the first Webby at Nat Geo with a video, and I'm sitting there watching the movie on an airplane going, hey, those are the exact words I said.
That is cool.
I only live right across the river in Hoboken. You could have asked me about it.
You have a very cool way about you, Preston. He sort of reminds of the dude from The Big Lebowski as a photojournalist.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, but I mean, I love that movie.
But you, so when you're out and about, you've got, is it an isolated, lonely existence that you lead?
Very much so.
Yeah, yeah.
I was the first guy to ever get a sat phone because I call home twice a day. And
yeah.
And still married, and actually my wife is a National Geographic explorer. And
so
writer.
She understands.
Yeah, so she understands, but it is extremely lonely. Because in many instances, you're there with someone that may be a interpreter, but there's no one else there because I work with scientists and local people. Scientists usually have to leave, but they may, you know, show me the way forward. With this, then they got to go back to their university or whatever.
Sure.
Local people live there, but they don't speak English. I work with a lot of people who don't even know how to say hello, but they're incredible people and they know their area and they know the animals that live there. So I hang with them and, you know, I learn a little bit of their language. They learn some of mine. And
it's wild.
But it's incredibly lonely, especially at night when you're standing under the stars. I have my sat phone in my hand and I'm going, good morning, darling.
Yeah. Oh, my
halfway
God.
Halfway around the world. Then I call home twice a day.
It is remarkable that you can call home at all. And, you know,
isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the day that they let you buy a sat phone, and if it used to be you're either Department of Defense or an oil company.
Yeah.
And then I would get was able to get one that just changed my life.
I used one to call another radio station one time. I was in Africa. I was in Kilimanjaro and called in. And it's pretty remarkable and a cool thing to be able to do. I wanted to ask you about the snow leopard because I've seen a few documentaries and apparently it's the most elusive of the cats to find.
Right.
It was that what your experience was like?
It was. I mean, I tell a funny story tonight that we went in with remote cameras and we got back to camp on the first day and the cook starts screaming. And I go, what's he saying? He goes, there's a snow leopard on the ridge. Canon had given me a 1200 millimeter lens. I put a doubler on it And you look up there, and there's a cat sitting on a rock hunting.
Wow.
You know, and the next 36 hours later, we saw two cats up on the ridge. And that was unheard of. So we do see them. You don't get the pictures like I got, you know. If you have an Apple computer, you can see one. It's
right,
under nature. You can use it as your screensaver. Oh, yeah, it's right on your screen over there, Steve.
No way. It's yeah. So let me tell you. So many of your pictures actually get the big cats are just glorious, amazing. And emotional. So I actually feel myself when I look at some of your beautiful photographs getting emotional. Was there one particular moment that you can recall where you were just, you know, emotionally leveled at what you had just seen?
Yeah, I spent a long time working on tigers. I mean, over a decade. And
amazing.
We're finishing the story. And when I first got to India, there was two females with cubs in this park. Within a week, they were both dead. The females and the cubs can't, you know, live on their own.
Right.
And I need that iconic picture of a mom and cub. So 3.5 months later, I'm done. I got to leave. And I asked the director of the park, if a female becomes pregnant, please let me know and I will come back. So I came back and... one day turns into 2 days, week turns into 2 weeks, then 3 weeks. On the 24th day, I still haven't got the picture. I get on the anti-poaching patrol elephant 5:30 every morning until it gets to about 110 degrees. The elephants then have to pull out because it's too hot for them. On the 24th day, I got a picture that, you know, I was so stressed out. I took it, and then the cub was gone. It was with the mother, and I asked the mahout, did the cub come out? And he goes, yes. And you think, just look at the back of the camera. It took me 2.5 hours to look at the back of the camera.
Wow.
When I did, I cried like a baby. And it's the cover of the National Geographic
Wild
Tigers Forever book that I did that my wife wrote.
Wow.
And it's just amazing. It's one in a million shot. And the only one in focus because elephants never stop. You're standing in a stream. They're drinking or they have a stick in their mouth, which is elephant dental floss.
Yeah.
You know, so.
God, it's fascinating.
It was so cool.
Do you have any idea how many pictures you've taken?
I have no idea. It's, you know, once Apple asked me that question because I used to, they had a photo software that I was an Apple consultant on, and it was up to, you know, 10 million or more.
Was it Aperture you were?
Yeah, I was one of the original Aperture guys. I was telling that story on the way over. I got a phone call and said, Cupertino, Apple.
Wow.
And they said, if Steve Jobs likes your pictures, you'll get a call within 30 days. And I told my wife, when pigs fly. It was 28 days.
God.
And it was changed my life. It was so fun going to headquarters there.
Look at this photo of the Tigers Forever book. That's amazing.
That's
absolutely amazing.
Gorgeous.
I knew the cub was, you know it, but I only got 7 frames. So when I looked up and the cub was gone,
yeah,
I should have just hit the back of the camera, you know. But and I had to leave in 4 days, and she kept going, how are you keeping it together? You're not getting it. I said, I know it's going to happen. You have to be an eternal optimist.
Yeah. Well,
you couldn't do this job.
It's an unbelievable photograph.
Steve, by the way, you're one of the heads for the National Geographic Big Initiative, and that's
Big Cat Initiative.
Big Cat Initiative. I'm sorry to stop poaching, preserve habitats, and try to, you know, support education, halt extinction, and all that. Where are we now in the world with those efforts?
Well, with what China just did 3 days ago, we're not doing too good.
I don't know that story.
All right, they made it legal to sell use tiger parts and rhino horn.
That's
because they farm these animals.
Horrible.
And that's bad. That's really bad because wild tigers are now in the crosshairs because they're more valuable because they're wild. They're not farmed in their tiger farms. They have no medicinal value at all. They've been checked out upside down and backward.
Yeah.
Rhino horn's worth more than its weight in gold, but it's made of keratin, like our hair and fingernails.
Yeah.
So I say chew your fingernails and save a rhino, but over 1,000 rhinos are killed every year in South Africa. Mm. And, you know, people say, well, why don't we just make it legal? Well, that really just fuels the trade in wild.
It drives up the price.
All the people that use it
think
it has medicinal value, and they want that one that came from the wild because that has the power of the wild animal. So we don't know what we're going to do, but it's a big deal, and we're working on a story right now to hopefully stop the tiger end of it. But that's what we do.
Well, bless you for that. Honestly, to live in a world where these magnificent creatures don't exist would just be horrible.
I mean, we almost lost elephants.
Yeah.
But a great, you know, at least they have an ivory ban there, and the price plummeted. So the poaching really backed off, which was great. Or we literally in 10 years would not have an elephant except one in a zoo or, you know, one they couldn't find in somewhere in Africa.
Well, keep up the fight. You know, obviously, it's all you can do for now.
I love it. I'm lucky, and, you know, the natural world is perfection.
We have a number of texts that are coming in saying that your speaking cadence sounds exactly like Matthew McConaughey. Has anybody ever told you that before?
All right. Actually, they never have.
We got a whole bunch of them.
Well, we had good. I love Dude from the Big
Lebowski. There you go.
People were asking and if you were McConaughey, stoned, too.
That's good.
Yeah. So people were wondering if you were high as well. But.
You know, I've had that. They said, the dude sounds high. It's like, yeah, well, I've had a couple cups of coffee today.
Dude, I would be doing anything you possibly could if there was a jaguar scratching at my door.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'd be mainlining heroin into my eye.
Well, very impressive work, obviously. But you get the full story tonight on The Trail of Big Cats is the name of the show. And it is a Nat Geo Live series that is taking place at the Marion Theater tonight at 8 o'clock. There are limited seats left.
I would seize upon those seats
absolutely.
If you're any remote fan of this stuff.
Absolutely. Tickets are available at KimmelCenter.org. Great to meet you. What interesting stories. You're
Thank you all very
individual.
Much for having me today.
Appreciate it. Right. Steve Winter, guys.
Yes.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Do you want the most important purchase of your life to be based on your negotiating skills? Not the case at Steven Singer Jewelers. You are guaranteed to get the perfect price every day. They make the experience of buying an engagement ring easy with no BS. Check him out at the other corner of 8th and Walnut in Philly or online at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers. One place, one price.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, you know that I go to Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spas. Whether you want a rejuvenating massage or a refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massage or facial start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thank you very much, Kath. Been a little while since we had our next guest in the studio, but it's always, dare I say, a treat to have him by here right on the heels of Halloween.
Trick or treat.
All right. But anyhow, let's talk to Michael Barkhead from NBC Sports Philadelphia.
What's up?
Hey, man.
How you doing?
Awesome. You?
I'm not as good as you. You were in London. It's unbelievable.
Dude, we had a great time.
You didn't call me or nothing.
Have you been to Wembley?
I have not been to Wembley. I've been to London. I was there for the Olympics.
Yeah.
200 meters. And finished in 45 seconds. I think that's slow.
It was the 200 meter skip.
Skip. And dance.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was Dancing with the Stars. Wembley is impressive, I have to say.
Yeah.
We saw, from what we understand, that... that Jaguars-Eagles game was
You didn't go to the game?
No, we did. It went to, and it left around halftime, but it was the most attended of the NFL games in London ever. So
oh,
like
absolutely.
Not, like
not
full capacity, yeah.
Not surprised. Well, you know, we were talking during the Super Bowl how well Eagles fans travel.
Mm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I can only imagine. It was really cool because when we were in Minneapolis, I didn't have a sense of what I had when the team was in London because I was there putting out the videos and doing all that stuff and
right.
the photos, and now I got to watch everybody else's. And it really was a thrill living vicariously through all the fans that were there and sending this stuff back.
They
great.
Were all over the
yeah.
place.
Awesome.
We were in the city center. We were in the heart of London, central London. And everywhere we went, going to a pub,
And somebody's got a hat on going to a restaurant. Somebody's got a jersey on.
Everywhere. We were walking around. I was just walking around on Saturday for miles and miles and miles. And I, matter where, hey, Steve, hey. And it was that vibe. It was like,
am I in Philly?
Yeah, it felt like it.
It's bizarre, but it's so cool. Yes, Casey, put your hand down.
Well, I was in
son of a gun.
I was in Paris on Saturday, and the Eagles fans were there. And so when I came back on the train on Saturday night, you know, there were a ton of, just waiting in line, ton of Eagles fans. Now, what I thought was really, really cool, obviously, inside Wembley Stadium, even though it was a Jags home game, there were, I thought, majority Eagles fans there. But what I thought was really cool were the amount of just British football fans that were there wearing all the jerseys from all the teams. In fact, Marissa and her boyfriend had, like, they were playing like a bingo and trying to take pictures of all the different jerseys from all around the league. And they were able to get all 32 teams.
Yeah, we found all of them all over the city. The only one that took until we got to the stadium was the Cleveland Browns.
I thought it was the Bills. It was the Buffalo Bills because Matt was taking a picture of a guy in our section wearing a Bills jersey.
We already had Bills.
Okay.
Yeah, we were wrong.
By the way, that guy was their quarterback.
I don't know if you know that. He couldn't get tickets here.
You know. Yes.
But there was a moment where we were taking the tube to the game, and right across the seat from us was an Eagles fan sitting next to a Giants fan sitting next to a Cowboys fan.
Get out.
It was just normal.
And no rumble? London, no brawl in the tube?
Nothing. No. Everyone was at peace. Osama bin Laden's son was right there. Everyone was sitting side by side. No, I'll tell you what, it was cool to see.
What's the one thing that when you think, you close your eyes and you think of that trip that you just came back from, what's the defining moment image for you, Steve?
It would have to be the hotel's tomato basil soup.
Oh, yeah. Really? my word. Kathy?
I loved the Tower Bridge, and I had seen it before, but it's just, I think it's so beautiful.
Yeah. Nick, man?
Abbey Road? Yeah.
Oh, right.
It's a hooker.
That was really, that was Abbey.
Yeah. That was her name. Name's Abbey Road. I did this same for the Fab Four.
It was, I talked about it on the air yesterday, but it was just a remarkable emotional moment, and I loved every second of it. And it, for me, that was the best part of the whole trip. But to the point earlier, there were Eagles fans at Abbey Road. I mean, they were everywhere you wanted to be, just like a Visa card.
That's so cool. Preston?
Was the street performer who made money by blowing into a traffic cone.
Yeah, that's good.
He just sat there and went, woo!
I wouldn't say he made money, though.
And he was from Philly, too.
The most, one of the coolest moments that I had was we had a guide take us around town and showed us all the big things like Parliament and Buckingham Palace and Westminster Abbey, the really biggies. But I mean, he made sure he tailored it towards the Beatles fan that I am. And so we went to the building that was formerly the Apple Corps building. So the Beatles had Apple Records, and it was their headquarters, and it was also a recording studio. And it was the last place the four of them ever played together on the roof of the building. So I stood up there, and I looked at that. And in my mind, I was listening to the songs and imagining what it would sound like echoing down the streets if I was just walking to work or whatever. And it was...
I'm getting chills thinking about you doing that. Get back, JoJo.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you kidding me, Case?
Cool. Yeah.
Maris?
All right, so it's got to be a tie between getting yelled at by a violinist performing inside the subways of Paris.
Went to Paris while we were
there.
I didn't know what he was saying, but body language is universal, and I clearly didn't like what I was doing.
Well, he looked like a French Charles Manson.
He did.
You're not supposed to take photos or video of buskers without tipping them. That's why he was upset.
Oh, I tipped him.
Well, then I'm surprised he was upset.
Well, I didn't tip him until afterwards.
There it is.
That's why. Yeah,
oh, thanks. I see
God,
the man.
He
yeah.
like Charles Manson.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, man. I faked my own death, and now you're blowing my cover.
And then
I'm busking.
He's got a Stradivarius. Yeah. It's amazing.
Then I witnessed a pickpocketer get caught pickpocketing a phone inside of an Adidas store in London, which was cool.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And then, of course, Parliament.
And then Marissa?
Since you guys named all the big things, I'd have to say I had the ultimate Rick Roll experience. I went to Rick Astley's bar and got Rick Rolled by Rick Astley at his bar.
Wow.
He was actually there?
No, but he has little signs all over the place.
Okay.
So he, like,
that is awesome.
Everybody, Marissa's here, and I'm going to Rickroll, huh?
Yeah. That is great. I feel like I just hijacked the show. This is Michael Barkan. We'll be back after this.
You did. You absolutely
awesome.
Awesome.
We actually,
good like that.
When our family went over in 2012 for the Olympics, we did that Abbey Road photo.
Yeah.
and they don't tell you Abbey Road's in the middle of a roundabout. And so to get the traffic to stop was...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what everyone's saying. You take your life in your hands. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure the Londoners just love that.
Yeah.
This oh, it's great. Yeah. It's like they're stopping for a picture, just like the Beatles did. That's great.
At least the Rocky Steps are, like, not in the middle of traffic. Yes. Right, you know?
Yeah, and they're wide enough to accommodate about 1,000 people.
Yep.
So no, Abbey Road's a little bit of a different deal.
But it was a city that I want to go back to because there's so much to see. I can't imagine, though, during the Olympics, it was already mobbed as
yeah.
it was.
Yeah.
It had to have been just a crazy
zoo.
Scene.
It yeah. was a zoo, but it was great. I actually texted Nick and said, seriously, watch stepping off a curb because yeah. you're used to the traffic going the other way.
Well, they
it
had the
signs on the street.
Look
right?
left, look yeah. right. Was that instituted for the Olympics?
I think it was.
Really?
Yeah, because you can just get blown away.
So yeah, absolutely.
Dropped a coin there and boom.
And people want to get photos as tourists wherever they go, and they just stop paying attention at certain points. You've traveled a lot with your job for work over the years. What, besides maybe the 2012 Olympics with London, what do you think would be the best travel experience for you when it comes to a sports story?
Well, I had the opportunity to do 3 Olympic Winter Games. One was in Albertville, France. One was in Japan, and
yes.
And then Lillehammer, Norway, Hamar.
What was your favorite of the troika?
I guess probably Lillehammer, only
yeah.
because
it's fun to say.
Hello, we've had the Vikings skip it. We had snow for like a week straight.
I mean,
I'm talking about 3 feet of snow, and then the day of the opening ceremonies, it stopped, crystal blue skies, and it was like that for 16 days,
wow.
and it was awesome. Plus, you know, the sun went down at 2.
Yeah.
I get up at sunrise at 10. You know, it's nice. I'm up at the crack of dawn. Oh, you know that.
Oh, my God. I got to set my alarm for mid-morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that they were always a blast, and... you know, Super Bowls, just being at the Super Bowl, whether Eagles Super Bowls, I've covered other teams.
Is there something weird, though with the whole thing at Wembley, 90,000 people, and, you know, it's great. We had great tickets in the Green Legion, you know, running the whole thing, and we were in the end zone. But I still find myself watching the Jumbotron, watching the big screen
yeah.
to really see it. I'm like...
You have to train.
I do that at home.
Yeah, you have to train yourself to keep your eye on the action.
Well, we were also... in the end zone where the you know, the Jumbotron was
right across the way.
And my brothers have that same problem because they're in section 131 at the link, and it's right there. Now, I sit in 240. I'm up top,
yeah.
and I actually got a great vantage point of the game. So I never look at the Jumbotron unless I'm looking at the replay.
I just keep saying, I'm here to watch the game on the field. I'm here live to
yeah.
watch the human beings with my own eyes.
Right, you know? Right. And relay that.
Yeah, but it's difficult. Of course, I haven't seen a game in person in 20 years.
That's crazy.
We won't let him out.
So what do you think about developments with the Eagles? Obviously, they took that game, which was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But what's your assessment?
I like the Golden Tate trade. I think that can only help if it doesn't work out. That they haven't given up much. They gave up a 3rd-round pick, but they still have 2 2nd-round picks, so that's good. And you know Howie Roseman will make something happen with that. Golden Tate, over the last 4 seasons, the only wide receivers with 90 or more catches over the last 4 seasons. One's Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't bad. And the other is Golden Tate.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Well, what sucks about that is I have Matthew Stafford on my fantasy football team, so now
I'm
he's
sorry.
Not.
And
he's
the
not
Eagles
the
did
goal.
Not take that into consideration.
Sorry, not sorry.
They never called me. I was in the air when this trade
had outrage.
Taken place.
Who's
an
in your who's in your fantasy football?
So this is really going to hurt my fantasy football team, but it will help the Eagles.
It
was sort of a head scratcher because it's not the trade or the type of player. Us as a fan base was thinking that we were gonna snag. They were looking at a defensive secondary,
mm-hmm.
perhaps a running back.
Mm-hmm.
We thought, you know, after you know bringing Jordan Matthews back in with Alshon and Nelson, that maybe we were okay in the wide receiver department. So this was a little bit of a head scratcher. I thought maybe there were a couple of more needs. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I thought that we're never going to get the running back that we had heard about, which was Le'Veon Bell and LeSean McCoy. I thought those two guys are out because they don't give a running back the ball that many times during a game
mm-hmm.
for it to be worth their while. So, you know, you got Wendell Smallwood. I think Sproles is going to be coming back soon, so he'll be a big infusion. And you've got Josh, what the heck's his name?
Adams.
The rookie. I think they're going to be all right there. You know, the line's the question. Lane Johnson, I'm assuming, is coming back. We know that Jason Peters on the left side of the line is banged up. But I think the wide receiver help of all those options offensively is the option. Now, secondary, they do need help in the secondary.
Yeah.
But they got a great front. You know what makes the secondary better is a great pass rush. I think the quarterback, boom, he's got to rush the ball. All of a sudden, your secondary looks all world.
If we don't, and not to get ahead of ourselves, but if we were to make it to the big dance at the end of the season and we were going against the Chiefs, we probably could break the record that we broke last year against the Patriots, and that could be like a 60-63 game. With the lack of defenses.
What do you? Mm-hmm. All right, so we might as well put you on the spot now because how's the team looking? And do you think with this recent shifting around, in the long run, do you think we make it again?
Let me say this about that. which is
your best Dick Nixon impression.
Thank you very much. All we really want is we got the Vince Lombardi Trophy down in South Philadelphia. All we really want at this point is hope.
Yes.
There's some hope that it can happen again. Do I have hope that it can? Yes. Do I think that it will? No. I think it's going to be difficult. And you just go by record. And they should be, in my opinion, at worst 6-2 right now, and they're 4-4 at the halfway point. I think it'll be difficult when you look at the final 8 games. You got division games. I think they should take care of the Giants again. I think they probably could beat the Cowboys both times. Washington's a different story at, 5 or 6-2? 5-2, I think. 6-2. Are the Redskins. I think that's going to be difficult to take both games from the Redskins. And then you've got the Los Angeles Rams, who are also making an assault on the Vince. And you've got the New Orleans Saints doing the same. So figure out, just do the math.
Yeah.
I mean, are they going to go?
It's the same thing as last year. It was the Saints, it was the Vikings, it was the Rams, and it was the Eagles. I think the only thing that has really changed is the Rams. They bolstered up their defense.
The Saints look great too.
They
look really good. But
they did last year as well.
You're right.
I don't think the Saints their complexion has not changed at all.
They use a lot of moisturizer.
Yeah, yes, they do. They're very supple.
To do that.
Very, very supple. But it's difficult to be the team.
Yeah,
fragrant.
I'm not saying that there's not a little splotchiness, but for the most part,
that's Southern heat.
One thing I do have to point out, though. You know that. Sean Payton, who is the head coach of New Orleans Saints, and grew up where? Come on, give it to me. Give it to me.
I don't know.
Newtown Square.
He's from Newtown Square.
Well, I told him that. I said, we're claiming you Newtown Square, baby. He said, I left there when I was 7. That's okay.
Yeah,
he's from
matter.
Newtown Square.
Yeah.
Anyway, he and Doug Peterson played golf in a celebrity event over the summer.
That's right.
And they put on the line the winner of that little tournament matchup. Their team was going to wear the home jerseys, and the game's in New Orleans, and Doug Peterson won.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I thought that was a little flip. I thought that was a little cavalier, because in professional sports, you need every advantage you can get. So now, I mean, I'm looking at the Eagles got a good chance to win that one, because the Saints won't have their home jerseys on.
See what happens there.
That's all you need.
You know what? I was listening to the press conference yesterday with Golden Tate, and he just sounds like a guy that you want on your team.
Yeah.
But he was mentioning that he had gotten a phone call from Zach, right? And he was talking about Zach Ertz.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely forgotten, about him. And it just dawned on me that this offense is damn good.
It is.
It is damn good.
Yes.
So you talk about the offensive line being a little bit beat up. And of course, Jay Jai is down. But regardless of that, this is a damn good offense.
It is a really, really good offense.
Yeah.
Tell me it's not. It is a damn good offense, and they got that going for them, which is nice.
And they're also non-selfish, and that was another point that he had said when he was talking to Zach, was that Zach said, we don't care who gets the ball.
Right.
I'm
just concerned with getting the ball deep downfield, mm-hmm. and that's why, of all those options, I would love to have seen DeSean Jackson return to Philadelphia. He's a burner. He would have made that offense look amazing.
Okay.
What they could have done would have been incredible.
Now, we have to ask, besides football, we understand that you have a big block party, a Halloween block party, that is the bane of the neighborhood's existence.
Well, let me tell you this.
They want you out.
Here's how it went down.
Okay.
By the way, I haven't been getting a lot of sleep lately, as you might imagine. Yesterday, I swear, I thought, I got to tell the gang this story.
All
2 days ago, my wife got up early and left the house, and she kept me up. And okay. She went into the bathroom.
Wink, wink?
No, not wink, wink. She's playing her, the shower's running.
Okay.
Right. You know, and she thought that would be a good time to play a soundbite on her cell phone, you know? So normally I go nuts. But I walked into the bathroom. I said, you know, I can hear that. And I went back to sleep. Couldn't get to sleep.
Right.
Finally, I get to sleep. And right before I woke up, I'm having a dream that I'm on the air and that they're telling me to rap and go to break. And that moment, my true story, my alarm goes off. And I said out loud, we'll be back after this. I swear to you.
I love it.
I swear. Aww. And then I looked around and I thought, why is no one here to see this?
Oh, that's
why?
Great.
I actually laughed at myself.
Yeah.
Anyway, what did you just ask me?
No, about your say Halloween party. Say it. Say you don't believe
actually,
it.
Actually, it was not at my house. Okay. It was at, I call him Bobby DeMatz. Bob Matson's house in Havertown.
Okay.
I just left that party to come here.
It's a big thing.
I mean, I'll tell you.
We'll be back after this.
We'll be back.
I'll be back after this.
It was amazing.
You posted a video on your Instagram account last night, and I was watching it jealous of this party. There were so many people. It just looked like everybody was having a great time.
Did you see the man at the end of the video?
Yes.
That was Bob.
Okay.
And he brings out his grill. He brings out, you know those lights that they use at a construction site?
Yes.
Sure. They're bright, and they're on a stand.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, he had those. So everybody was squinting as they enjoyed all of his fare. But it was a great night. He has it every single year. Neighborhood
kids
come by.
Do you get blitzed up? Because I know a lot of people, you know, like Preston's neighborhood, they have like golf carts they drive around and stuff.
Yeah, no, we were handing out little airplane bottles of booze.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. That's, you know, it's an idea for next year. Hey, yep. Take this with you, okay? A little bottle of booze. No, we had a couple. It was nice. And the neighborhood kids came by with their parents and the dogs and the whole bit. And I know you're big dog folks. And
oh, yeah.
So we brought Raven. And it was nice, and it was just a great time.
Do you dress your dog up, or you try to?
Only for Eagles games. Raven, when she wears the Eagles jersey, the Eagles are undefeated when she wears the jersey.
Okay, we'll always have the jersey on then.
Yeah, well, we forgot a couple of times, and that's four times. And and she's number zero.
Wow.
And trying to get her on. She's a little Bichon Poodle.
Yeah, yeah.
And vicious.
That's a football dog.
Vicious dog. Try to get that jersey on, lose a finger. I'm not even kidding. But then she gets it on, won't take it off.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
It's team pride.
Then she tells us, no, I want the Embiid jersey. which is crazy.
That's a pain.
You mentioned
it's a demanding dog.
The lack of sleep. I assume that's because of the West Coast games for the Flyers, or is it other stuff?
No, it was the London game.
Oh, okay.
So I got up. I'd like to be in the studio early. Yeah. So you're all. It's
you make breakfast for everyone, which is a great thing.
Well, yeah. You know, I got some lox spread. You know me. I got a little lox spread.
Schmear.
A schmear. I got a schmear and with some capers, man. And but I got there, what time? The game, we were 8 o'clock on the air, so I got there at 6. So yeah. I woke up at 4:30. And there's something, you wake up at what time every morning?
3:45.
3:45?
4:15.
4:15? 4:15. You're nuts. Yeah. So I woke up at 4:30 in the pitch dark. I didn't even lower the shades when I went to sleep. I'm like, why do I need to do that? Got up. Showered up, got in there. It's still dark.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I watched the sun come up over the link from our new offices.
Ah.
You and the dog.
That's right. Ravy, come here.
Hey, Michael, I know this is your show and everything, but you mind if we have a guest on?
Well, you know what? If you have to. Go ahead.
Somebody who might have some importance to you as well.
Yeah, do we have some music, Casey?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, we do, indeed. Good friend of the program. In fact, he was in London while we were in London. We didn't see him while we were there, but he was in and around the town. But he's going to be performing at Sugar House Casino tomorrow and Saturday for a magic show. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. John Doran is on the show. Hey, dude.
Baby, baby.
Yeah. Hey, when did you get back from London, man?
Well, we got back, what, two or three nights ago, and then we went straight to Palm Springs, had a little show, and got home yesterday. And now I'm packing up and heading to Philly today.
Yeah, they had you running around a lot in London. You know, you were I know you're trying hard to make it to either one of our broadcasts, but they had you and Selleck on a bus on Friday just stopping all over the town. So what exactly did they have you guys doing?
You know, I don't really know.
You don't really know. As any well-planned event, you never quite know what you're doing.
just point, and we'll figure it out, right?
Were you exchanging currency, or what were you doing?
Well, it was a sightseeing thing, but it was awesome. We were basically on a giant bus wrapped in Eagle stuff. The drum line didn't stop for 5 straight hours, and we were just throwing Nerf footballs at unsuspecting locals walking down the street. It was phenomenal. So it was absolutely phenomenal. Everything about it.
So, John, and then we were talking about this. Besides the people who were over from the States to see the game, did you experience a lot of locals who are into American football? Because we sure as hell did.
Oh, man, it was crazy. And not only that, but there were a lot of locals that were wearing Eagle stuff. I mean, I thought basically London turned into Philadelphia for about 3 days. Man, I'm not exaggerating. It was absolutely crazy.
It was pretty spectacular. And one of my favorite parts of the game was, you know, they had interviewed Fred Taylor, who was a longtime running back for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And so they're interviewing him on the field, and it's going on to, you know, to the whole stadium. And, you know, he was just not dynamic. He was like, it's good to be here. And then a few minutes later, they bring you out, and you know how to address the crowd. And then at the end of your interview, you got the entire stadium to do the Eagles chant, which was fantastic.
Hey, look, man, we're going to do it. We're going to do it right. You know what I mean?
Who wants to hear a stadium go? It wouldn't quite work.
Bip.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? As a player, I never really wanted to do that game. I never, for reasons of your injury rate, tire, your facilities aren't the same, and you're there to do a job, right?
Right, right.
It makes your job more difficult. But I never once kind of looked at it from a fan's perspective. And I'll tell you this, I got to go over there as a fan. It is awesome. Like,
yeah.
Everything about it, going to London and the fans and the, you know, the events, like, it was just, it was so, so cool. And I'm all for that experience. It was cool.
So you're coming back and you're doing the show. Is this your, the full, John Dorenbos magic experience, or what can people expect if they attend the show?
Yeah, baby, you better believe it. We're at Sugar House Friday, Saturday night. Get the tickets, almost sold out. It's a great time. I've been there, I think, 8, 9, or 10 times or something like that. And it's basically my life story. It's about 90 minutes, and I tell my life story. We do killer magic. We give stuff away. We might have a pretty cool surprise guest Friday night, which is really cool. I can't announce it yet because we're confirming it. But it's cool, man. This is what I do. This is, I tour around, and it's life stories. It's Eagle stories, and it's a ton of magic woven in. And it's the magic that I learned along the way that kind of impacted who I was. And so it's not like the traditional magic show where you have a bunch of boxes and girls disappear and stuff like that. We inject a little.
It's more like a snuff film, right?
Yeah, right.
No, that's cool. And tickets, by the way, start at $45. You can get them at Ticketmaster.com. And there's going to be is there one show each day, or are you doing a couple each day?
I think one.
Okay,
think
one show.
I
all right.
Probably know that. I should probably know that answer.
We'll find out for you. Yeah.
Hey, I want to throw some kudos your way. You and Ellen DeGeneres are good friends now, and you did this really neat thing recently with this kid Ben Hartnemph, who is autistic, and you guys you brought him out to the show, and you guys made a $10,000 donation for the Eagles Autism Challenge. I met this kid last year at North Penn High School when I was there with a friend, and he's just the nicest, most outgoing kid. He must have been so excited when you guys did that.
You know, to me, him is super cool, and his attitude on life, his attitude on the Eagles, his attitude on just wanting to be helpful and to give. And, you know, he works at Dorney Park, and one of his favorite things is just to go and give away cups of drinks and front-of-the-line passes. So that guy is not just an ambassador of Dorney Park or Olive Garden or the Eagles, which is where he works. That guy's an ambassador of what life's all about. And that's just be kind to one another, be happy and be thankful, and make the best of what our situations are. And
I love it.
Around that kid was awesome. You know, he thought he was going for an interview for Ellen, too. And he was excited just to do that.
Yeah.
And then we brought him on the show. He lost his you-know-what. Oh,
yeah.
So cool, man.
Yeah, we're playing the clip right now in the studio. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and anytime we can show love to Philly on that show, I'm all in. I'm pushing for that.
So, excellent.
So go out there with the Eagles jersey on and do all that. It's a win-win.
So after the run at the Sugar House, after those shows, what's up next on your itinerary?
We got some TV stuff that we're doing, which I'm excited about, and then we hit the road again and perform. So, you know, when those times come, I'll let you know. I just know I got to get through the. I'm about 4 days ahead. I know my schedule for about 4 days.
Okay.
That's all I can handle. And let me get through these 4 days.
John, you're not on the team anymore, obviously, but I'm sure you still have friends on the Eagles. Who are you hanging out with when they have a bye week?
Good question. I'm in and out. I'll see Selleck. I'll probably see Kelsey. You know, Jason Peters, that's my guy right there.
And you know what? Look, long time Eagle, in my opinion. So I understood he retired and came out of retirement. But my good friend Donnie Jones now plays for the Chargers and only lives like 20 minutes from my house in California. So I get to see Donnie, which is really cool.
John, it's Michael B. How you doing, buddy?
Yo, what's up, man?
What's up, man? I guess it was on your Instagram, you performing magic tricks for the kids in London, which was awesome. Magic's magic, right? Wherever you go. That's the one thing that can unite, isn't it?
I love it, man. I love it. And you know, it helps, too, that they speak English over there.
Yes.
You know, what I learned is that, you know, I'm a very talkative magician, and so it helped. English is a good thing to have. But it was cool, man. We were at Piccadilly Circus.
Yep.
What a cool place. You know, we did Paris for a few days, and then we did London. And let me tell you, for anybody that's listened to this that's never been overseas, you know, you hear the rumors, oh, they don't like Americans. We went to Paris and had the time of our life. Everybody was super kind. It was awesome.
Yeah.
We went to London, and it was amazing. The hospitality, the excitement, the food. Go and check it out and go expand your horizons. It was just a cool, cool thing.
Yeah, I didn't meet one rude person the entire time we were there. It was great.
Casey got to meet Charles Manson in the subway.
Yeah, Charles Manson was playing violin in the metro.
Yeah, this Charles Manson lookalike in Paris. Yeah.
Hey, John, I have a question. You know, your illusions that you do a lot of close-up stuff. You do some, you know, things that are on a smaller scale that you can do for people right around you. But with the fame you've experienced over the past couple of years, has that upped the budget a little bit? Are you going for bigger and wilder illusions? I mean, maybe not in this particular show, but down the road, is that even something to consider?
Yeah, but I'm very selective. You know, when it comes to the big illusions, yes, we have some in the show, and I love them.
Okay.
But I want them to make sense to who I am. I want them to make sense to the story I'm telling that's relevant to my life. So that's why I said it's not just the dancing girls dancing around. If you bring your 10-year-old kid, I promise you this kid's going to leave inspired. This kid's going to leave with maybe some knowledge about some things that I went through. And all of a sudden, he's going to realize that if he is a little bit different, it's okay to be different.
It's very cool.
It's a show that has purpose. It's a show that you're going to laugh your off. You might even shed a tear. But it's going to be cool. And you're going to look at your family. You're going to appreciate a lot of things about life. And my goal was to do a show that when I was 12 years old and saw this guy Bill Malone on TV, how he infected my life. I want to do the same to those kids.
Nice. Well, you're doing it, man. You're absolutely doing it. Sugar House Casino, tomorrow and Saturday, 8 p.m. The tickets start at $45. You can get them at Ticketmaster.com. But there are some VIP passes if you want to get. There's meet and greets, and you get up close and personal and get to spend a little bit of time with John. $125 for that as well. I'm sure there are people that we'll want to meet you too. So you're going all over the place, dude, and we know you're busy, so we'll let you focus and get set for the shows and everything. In case you want to mention,
and then real quick, if you do end up solidifying your special guest and you want to get that word out, let me know. And we'll let you know.
Yes.
All right, cool.
I will.
All right excellent. All right, good to talk to you, John.
Thank you, guys.
All right,
Johnny.
Boss, guys.
What do you think the special guest is?
Dorm
is
boss.
It you, Michael?
Oh, wait, I turned down his mic and I meant to turn it down.
Sammy Davis Jr.
It's Sammy Davis Jr. Back from the dead.
Yeah.
That's ka-chow, amazing.
Ka-chow, I'm not dead,
I
bro.
I mean that, man. The Candyman can, man.
This guy's crazy.
Hey, real quick. I'm sorry.
You made a Charleston Chew disappear.
Do that, dude. to chew it and do it. Crazy. Give me a hug. Come here. Real quick, we have a new app. Or a redeveloped app at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Okay.
You developed it?
I developed
it. Or they showed
myself.
It to you?
No.
Okay.
let's dangle this in front of him. He loves that. Right. He's mollified by shiny objects. So it's called the My Teams app. And so if you're an authentic Philadelphia sports fan, which I know everybody listening is, download that app because it's got everything you need to connect you to the Eagles, Sixers, Flyers, and Phillies. It's awesome.
Very nice.
My teams.
I use the old app all the time, and I'm looking forward to the new app. I use it on my Apple TV, and it's a great way to watch incredible content from you guys.
Yeah. Not only can you watch the pregame and the postgame and our programming, but you can watch the games.
The games.
You guys are moving to the new Comcast building, are you? Are you going to stay in South Philly?
No, we just moved to new office space. I was telling Marissa we were on the ground floor. And we are now a floor above. Great, awesome digs.
Because some of the NBC Sports people, or I guess just NBC 10 local
NBC
people,
10,
yeah,
right.
They're shifting downtown now.
Yeah, beautiful building.
That's great.
Beautiful
That's awesome.
Building.
By the way, we're carrying the Flyers game tonight on yes. MMR. Just a heads up on that. So
you got to work that one?
No, I'm doing Cicero. Cicero. Yeah, oui. That's how they say it in Paris. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yes.
Stop photographing me.
Stop that now.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know where the heck he went. He said they were nice to him in Paris.
Did you have a bad encounter?
Well, are you kidding me? Just try to speak French. They'll help you. Yeah. Sure they will.
Yeah. You don't need to now, though, with the apps on the phone.
Yeah,
even phonetically, if you do that, but I mean now Google's new translators and their new app is phenomenal.
They were fine with me, and I actually, when trying to speak French, I actually spoke Spanish by accident. Yeah.
Oh my god,
that's great. Like, oh, gracias.
I mean,
merci.
What is this word? It is Casey. It is your name.
Yeah. How did the Google app work in London?
Yeah.
You weren't going to believe how well.
I'm sorry,
that worked.
I hijacked the show again. I heard music. What was it?
Heart? I mean, you're still. You were so traumatized by waking up and thinking you had to take a break. Commercial break.
We'll be back after this. Yeah. Oh my! I swear that it's unbelievable.
Well, you have to have the similar dreams that we do. So, anybody in the broadcast industry has those dreams. Something goes wrong.
Or you missed the slot. You missed your shift.
Sure.
You know,
when you're being Randy with the missus, do you finish up by saying, "And now a word from our sponsor"?
Yeah, baby.
Oh my God,
Shagadelic.
Oh,
did you see? Did you see Carson Wentz's outfit?
No.
After the game?
No, I did. Oh, yeah,
right after Austin Powers, international man of mystery.
By the way, we have a rule. We wrap it up anytime there's an Austin Powers.
Oh, I apologize. Yes. You know what? I'm going to see the first one. Okay. I promise.
All right.
All right. Michael Barkhead. Yay! Philadelphia. Yay!
Great to see you, as always, man. We're going to take a break, and we will be back in just a second. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger begins Monday, November 26th at Xfinity Live. The business challenge is such a big part of Camp Out, and props to Subaru of America for leading the way in challenging other companies to get involved and make a difference. Heritage Business Systems, your authorized Canon copier dealer, is encouraging any size business, large or small, to donate. One business will be selected at random to receive a Canon full-color copy, print, and scan image runner advance. It's a 36-month lease with service from Heritage. The Preston and Steve live broadcast from your place of business is still up for grabs for the largest donation. Go to WMMR.com/campout for a list of especially needed food items and all business challenge details.
Thank you, Kathy. Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Yeah. All right, and this morning is brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. No matter what time of day, two bacon, egg, and cheese sandwiches are always a good thing. And now you get two for $5 at Dunkin' Donuts with Dunkin' Go-To's. Participation may vary. Limited time offer. Every now and then you hear about corrupt politicians.
No.
This story is up there with a kind of an interesting twist about what is being offered to trade here. A Florida mayor is accused of soliciting sex from a constituent in exchange for speed bumps.
Ah.
According to the Florida Commission on Ethics, the commission.
One Hummer per speed bump?
The commission found that there was probable cause to find that David Stewart, the mayor of Lantana, Florida, misused his position to attempt to obtain a sexual benefit for himself. Now, Stewart solicited sex from a constituent based on an understanding that his vote, official action, or judgment would be influenced. Stewart did not immediately respond to a request for a comment. But he did deny the allegation. Now, the report alleges that Stewart told a constituent named Catherine Padilla 3 years ago that he would install speed bumps that she had advocated for if she had sex with him.
Hmm.
Padilla.
And if you want that on ramp, butt stuff.
Oh, that's what you get for.
That's the trade.
That's the trade for the.
Well, he's a politician.
Padilla filed two complaints this year that Stewart had made a sexual innuendo at her during a banquet and that he had solicited sex for the speed bumps. The commission dismissed the complaint about the innuendo in June, but went forward with the complaint about the speed bumps. In the complaint, Padilla said that Stewart took her to a motel one day after lunch and told her he wanted to have sex with her there. She declined and said he later called her to say that she could still have sex with him in order to receive the speed bumps in her community.
That sex offer is still on the table.
The town did eventually grant the speed bumps, but Padilla claimed that Stewart, who was elected in 2000 and is in his seventh term as Lantana's mayor, threatened to take them away because she did not agree to his advance.
Oh, my God.
So,
7 terms as mayor?
Are you kidding me? Wow. Okay. Well, we'll see where this goes. Ever felt like lathering yourself in liposuctioned human fat?
Yeah!
Well, what if that fat was pressed into a bar of soap a la Fight Club and sold to you for $32 a piece as part of an edgy art installation? That is because a Dutch installation artist by the name of Julian Hetzel has already gone and made Schudfabrik, a new type of beautiful soap produced from the donated fat of liposuction patients.
It's disgusting.
Schudfabrik will be sold out of a pop-up cosmetic shop and back of a house factory at the 2019 Adelaide Festival.
Is there any benefit whatsoever to doing this?
Where attendees, I'm not sure, will be given the chance to wash themselves with a bar of the stuff during a performance that will also include a plastic surgeon demonstrating liposuction. Conceptually, Hetzel claims he wants to use fat soap as a metaphorical device to explore the idea of turning guilt into a force for good. He said, "We decided to work with fat as a material that represents guilt or that contains guilt and to understand, can this be used as a resource?" He told ABC, "Can we use guilt as something productive? Can we profit from our own guilt? How to make money with guilt?"
Shut the fuck up!
Yes, Nick.
Isn't that part of the plot line in Fight Club, though?
That's what I said at the beginning.
Yeah. Oh, steal fat? Okay.
Yeah. He said, "We collaborated with a soap maker, and she advises us to make a mixture of different fats and oils to have a really high-quality product that is also moisturizing and has all the components of a real good soap."
Call me when you have a beauty mask made out of poop.
The 125-gram bars ended up containing less than 10% human fat, and those bodily materials had to be treated at high temperatures in order to kill any bacteria and viruses and make sure that the soap was actually hygienic.
You want to be rubbing some fat, beer belly fat on your face?
Not so much.
Well, soap was always made from blubber, right?
I know.
Back in the day, so it's not that much different. Those less interested in the art side of things and more interested in peddling the bars as Christmas gifts for friends and family will also be able to take some of the Schudfabrik home with them for the cool price of $32.
Look at this process of...
Oh man, dude, lipo is...
invasive.
Lipo is... wild.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a high risk.
Well, it's not.
I can't even watch the video.
It's not a delicate procedure.
Well, and that's the thing too. If you watch what they actually do, you know why it's a high risk
and why people are so sore after it.
Oh God, yeah.
Do we have to wrap it up there, Case?
One more.
Okay, last one. Neighbors couldn't believe what they saw. People stopped and stared as they walked past a Newport Richie home. Drivers slowed down, windows rolled down, mouths agape. Some snapped pictures, and others shook their heads. Those who saw it described the Halloween decorations as pure hate. The home has a display that's causing controversy and outrage. In the yard, skeleton after skeleton, saluting Hitler with concentration camp identification numbers on their arms and a Star of David on their chest. Then there was a sign that read, "Arbeit macht frei," which of course translated in German is "Work sets you free." It's a slogan known for being on display at the entrance of Auschwitz and other Nazi concentration camps. Neighbors called the decorations displayed by a local realtor at her home evil. Mitchell Katz was stunned when she saw the decorations. She said, "It sickened me." And, you know, especially after what happened in Pittsburgh, she explained how decorations are hurtful. She said, "I'm Jewish." And, of course, it hurts her. And they have a number of quotes from local neighbors. Now, this all began because of a woman in the neighborhood. Her name is Susan Lamerton. She's the homeowner. She had a problem with her HOA, her homeowners association.
Yeah.
And she claims she's been battling them over landscaping for months.
And that's why she did it.
So put up the Nazi skeletons, why don't you?
And isn't she herself, in fact, Jewish?
Yeah, she said, the news person said, "Why would you put this in the front yard of your home?" She said, "Because they're trying to take away my house. Don't you understand?
You dummy."
She received death threats over her display, but refuses to move it. She says that she stands firm in her decision to keep them right where they are. She also says that she is Jewish and that this is her right to free speech, her way of protesting the Homeowners Association.
Bring it up at the next meeting.
So there, some people go a little kooky when they have issues with their Homeowners Association.
Have to throw out a Raggedy Ann.
You know.
Yeah, Raggedy Andy holding hands.
There you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. Let's take a break. Case, do I have any of these left?
Yeah.
Last one. There is a screening of the movie Instant Family tonight, and with it, an opportunity to win a trip to the L.A. premiere, which is coming up on November 11th. Here's what you have to do. You got to go to the screening tonight at the Landmark Ritz East in Old City. There's a Q&A. Casey and the writer-director Sean Anders will be there. And if you stick around for the Q&A afterwards, you can get registered for the trip. You have to be at least 21 years of age, and you and your guests can be eligible for that. And it's airfare, hotel, tickets to the film premiere.
Wow.
And a Paramount Pictures studio lot tour. Pretty sweet deal. And we have 6 pairs of passes left. So call now, only if you can make it tonight. You need to be there by 6:30. 215-263-WMMR is the number. We are going to take another break. We'll come back in a second. We'll see what the lesson question is and more when we return.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
That would put me in a good mood. Pearl Jam Dissident on 93.3 WMMR. Have a day, rocks. 20 minutes after 10 o'clock. Marissa is out tonight, and it's going to be a beautiful night to be out. You want to be out walking. If you didn't get out last night for Halloween, maybe you're stuck in the house handing out the candy or something like that. Tonight's a good night to go out. 74 degrees, clear. It's going to be wonderful. Marissa's going to be doing her Philly tour at Drinker's Pub and 19th of Chestnut, 1903 Chestnut. 7 to 9 tonight. And while you're there, stop in. There'll be Calendar Girls. We're giving away Kelly Green Philly shirts, the Philly shirts, and also a pair of tickets to an Eagles home game, courtesy of Bud Light. So that is tonight from 7 till 9, and all you got to do is swing by there. Today's lesson question could get you a pair of tickets to show number 2 of True TV's Impractical Jokers, the Krangis McBasketball World Comedy Tour. And this will be Saturday, January 19th, and it is the second show at 8 p.m. at the Met in Philadelphia. And let me see here. What do we want to go with? How about, this is, all right, apparently a guy taking a paternity test on Maury said that he had his tubes tied by what doctor? What type of doctor?
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR, okay? So a guy taking a paternity test on Maury said he had his tubes tied by what type of doctor? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. Call right now. We're going to do the trash, of course, while I'm waiting for your call.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Armor Metals and Recycling. In any of the construction trades, Armor Metal pays top dollar for all metals, wires, motors, and peripheries. 83 International Highway in Pensauken. Or you can call 856-665-5715. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Alex Trebek has signed a new contract that'll keep him hosting Jeopardy through 2022. Trebek says this time around was very difficult because he wasn't sure he was up for the rigorous 80 days a year work schedule.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Megyn Kelly not making it easy for NBC to get rid of her, demanding $10 million on top of her $38 million payoff, or she says she will reveal network secrets. In an effort to show she's serious, Kelly has already revealed that Alf was a puppet.
No!
No! She's ready to roll. And finally, Kylie Jenner blowing up on Instagram yesterday with her Halloween costume, which had her portraying Barbie. Kylie admits that being Barbie was weird because she herself has so much more plastic in her. And that's your Hollywood chat.
All right. We shall see if we can find somebody with the answer to this. Apparently, the guy taking paternity test on Maury said that he had his tubes tied by what type of doctor? And we will go to Frank. Hey, Frank.
Hey, Preston.
Yo, bud, do me a favor and tell me what type of doctor the guy used to get his tubes tied.
He used a dentist.
A dentist. Yes. That is correct, Frank. Hang on just a moment. Get your information. Going to give you a pair of tickets. Show number 2 at True TV's Impractical Jokers, the Krangis McBasketball World Comedy Tour, starring the Tenderloins, presented by the Preston and Steve Show. It's a brand new tour, Saturday, January 19th, and the second show is at 8 p.m. at the Met Philadelphia on North Broad, and tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. via themetphilly.com. So congratulations. Nick, can you do me a favor? Pull up the pictures again. I didn't see the Barbie pictures.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So this is Kylie dressed as Barbie.
Yeah, she does actually look good.
I don't think so.
I
think she looks so plastic, I don't find it at all attractive.
I'm looking at the picture of her in the car, and you're right, her face maybe they were really trying to make her look like a doll or something, but I don't know.
The picture I saw was not in a car,
that one.
Yeah.
God, that does look fake.
Oh, man.
It looks like a real Barbie.
Yeah. Looks like a real doll, Steve.
Yeah.
You know, so... Anyway,
oh, look at a collective of friends. Look, we're all Barbies.
Oh my God, that's great. So much fun.
I can't. One day I want to have a baby. You already had one, really?
And what's up with the multiple Halloween costumes for one day?
Well, for one day.
Yeah.
Oh, you know why? You just because you're an Instagram sensation. You got to keep them going.
And you can get them, and somebody will get them for you, and there you go. Well, did she always have boobs that big?
Word is she's had a go figure an augmentation. Yeah.
Well, okay. Anyway, we got to do music news. Let's go ahead.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
Hi, this morning brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Fuel up this fall at Dunkin' with $2 any size iced coffees from 2 to 6 p.m. And you can try any of Dunkin's delicious flavors like maple pecan or pumpkin. And America runs on Dunkin' participation. A very limited time offer. Mentioned this earlier this morning. Red Hot Chili Peppers played a surprise Halloween show on Wednesday morning at Viewpoint School in Calabasas, California. And I'm not sure what age the kids are, but Chad Smith's children go to school there. And Smith wrote on Twitter, "Who rocks out at 9:30 a.m. at my kids' school? We do." The band was decked out in makeshift Halloween costumes, with Smith wearing a Guy Fawkes mask and a white wig. Flea had a skeleton costume on. Anthony Kiedis was wearing a red jacket and mask. And guitarist John Klinghoffer was rocking some green hair. The Chili Peppers recently began working on songs for their 12th studio album, which will follow up 2016's The Getaway.
So. I'd love to find out how old the kids were.
Yeah. So they've got a stage set up. They're in the gym, and they blew it out. So that's neat of them to do that because, I mean, even those guys are the best of friends.
Yeah.
They still have their own families.
Sure.
And they have their professional lives, and they decided to, you know, Chad, I guess, asked them, and they said, yeah, let's do it. So that's pretty cool, man.
Apparently all ages, guys. So kindergarten through 12th grade.
Oh, wow. That must have been great. Jonathan Davis has released the official music video for the track Basic Needs, taken from his recently released solo album Black Labyrinth. Davis said about the song and clip, "Basic Needs is essentially as close as I get to writing a love song. It also gave me a chance to explore different instruments and styles of world music and step outside of what may be considered the norm." The two other videos I've released for this record have been telling a story in reverse, and this video continues that pattern. Linkin Park vocalist Mike Shinoda and bassist Dave Phoenix Ferrell reunited on stage on Tuesday night during Shinoda's solo concert in Las Vegas. Ferrell sat in for a good portion of Shinoda's set, hopping up in there for a paper cut and then sticking around for an entire encore that included Linkin Park numbers Iridescent, Castle of Glass, and
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. Goodbye and Bleed It Out. After the performance, Shinoda posted a number of photos from the evening on social media and thanked Ferrell for joining in for a bunch of songs. And he can also be seen in a photo posing as Run, DMC's biggest fan, and getting an autograph from Shinoda, who was dressed up for Halloween in his best Run DMC gear, and even opened the show with a bit of It's Tricky. It was pretty cool.
That is cool.
Costume that he had on, so that's fun. Imagine Dragons is revealing more of its upcoming Origins album. Singer Dan Reynolds and company have dropped a new song called Machine, which you can download now via digital outlets. The track is confirmed to appear on Origins, the so-called sister album to the group's 2017 smash LP Evolve, and the new set arrives on November 9th. The news came as something of a surprise, since the Vegas-based act is just coming to the end of their tour cycle for its previous effort, 2017's Evolve, and is not taking any time off before releasing the new disc. Motley Crue bassist Nikki Sixx has joined PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, of course, to address a disturbing video showing dogs being used for medical research at Texas A&M University. Sixx wrote a letter to the school president, Michael Young, asking him to stop breeding dogs for medical research.
Yeah.
The school breeds golden retrievers with the intention of having them develop muscular dystrophy so they can be used for medical research in an attempt to find a cure for the disease. The video shows the dogs all locked in steel cages with uncomfortable-looking slotted metal floors. All the canines with muscular dystrophy look undernourished and weak, with some drooling uncontrollably, while healthy dogs are also seen locked up and trying to escape. Six, who has two golden retrievers, told Rolling Stone, "They're my buddies, and I just want to make sure that they're happy and taken care of. When I'm on the road, I can't wait to get home to see them, so it crushes me to think about dogs at TAMU who are kept in metal crates, often without even a blanket. They don't deserve that." Texas A&M quickly responded, claiming the video was out of context and secretly shot by a worker at the center in 2013 and released in 2016 by PETA. The school also claimed that the Food and Drug Administration requires therapies be proven to be safe in animals before they can be tested in humans. Unfortunately, no complete alternatives to animal research exist at this time. To test a drug's effectiveness and whether it will be safe in a human, the impact of a new medication must be assessed in a living organism. Six, who is calling for a boycott of the school, noted that these experiments have been going on for nearly 40 years and haven't yet produced a cure or treatment for humans, while PETA claims that there are modern humane options available and actually more effective at producing relevant results. And then one last story. Jimmy Page's iconic 1959 Dragon Fender Telecaster will be released as four signature models in 2019 to celebrate Led Zeppelin's 50th anniversary. Page was gifted the guitar in 1967 by his then Yardbirds bandmate Jeff Beck, played the guitar in the final days of the band before it became his first signature axe in Zeppelin. The Dragon Telecaster was used throughout the band's first album and can also be heard on Page's iconic solo for 1971's Stairway to Heaven. According to the press release, two models will be made on Fender's production lines, and two will be produced in the Fender Custom Shop, dubbed the limited edition Jimmy Page Telecaster set, and Fender will reveal the complete model lineup in January 2019.
That's pretty cool.
I'm going to guess that's going to be pretty pricey to get one of those.
You still have one more story, though, don't you?
No.
It's one of the big news music stories of the day. We reported on it earlier.
Not
a certain band of otters.
Oh, yeah.
My God. Yeah.
Certain band of otters. Uh-huh. When you meet somebody that don't like soul food, they still got a soul. And it don't mean that you got no rhythm if you don't like rock and roll.
So, yes, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. On Friday, November 2nd, tomorrow, over 40 years following the original air date of Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas, the Jim Henson Company and Music Film Recordings will release the entire soundtrack, both digitally and on CD. It's never been released before.
Never.
They've never had the soundtrack, so Casey's very excited about it.
Same case.
I don't know that one.
I don't know all the words.
We're closer now than ever before.
How much alike we are. Perhaps we're long-lost brothers.
There's love in our world, and we're showing it more.
We don't think the same. You know there may be others.
Our world says welcome, stranger.
I want to hear more of this.
Everybody's a friend.
We can always use a friend.
Favorite stories don't end.
Welcome, brother, in our.
See what they did here.
Did you
Preston.
And Kevin used to sing this together?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
We love this because at the end of the, and I'm sorry, spoiler alert,
right.
40 years later, at the end.
They get used for animal testing?
The jug band and the mother don't win the talent competition, right? They each sing different songs. And as they're walking home defeated, they start to sing their songs together, so they do a mashup together.
I love that.
And as they're walking through Possum Hollow, you know, Mayor Frog hears them singing together, and he's like, "Hey, why don't you guys come and sing here?" And they get a job together as the house band
that's
of this
pretty awesome.
Awesome restaurant. Yeah.
Oh, and that's when they officially become the jug band.
Yep. But if you listen to the lyrics.
Yeah. But we'll enjoy each lesson.
I don't want to sing along with this, okay. But if you were to, if, in this story, you would
read about how Jim Henson didn't want to talk down to
the audience.
He essentially, like, lyrically and all that sort of stuff, it's really powerful stuff.
Poignant.
It sounded quite lovely.
I believe it.
And I mean, Jim's a great songwriter.
Rainbow Connection can make me shed a little tear. And
absolutely.
Straight out of that world. So, no, it's good. So, you're going to get, you got to get it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, no doubt.
Thank you, Steve, for reminding
me.
No
problem.
I appreciate that. All right, and there you go. That's what I have for you.
Certain Otter Band.
Music news this morning. Thank you to our buddy Damon from downstairs, Damon Forte, and the restaurant Manja that we've been going to for years. They have their grand reopening today.
It's wonderful if you haven't been to it.
And he ended up sending up a masseuse as well, a massage therapist to give us back rubs.
Is he still out there?
They're offering. He's waiting for you, man.
All right.
So they're offering downstairs in Manja if you want to go down and get a chair back massage or something like that.
Excellent.
Massage real quick. And they have all kinds of specials and things. So we thank Damon. He brought by some breakfast pizza for us, which, of course, he's the originator of the breakfast pizza.
That's right.
We're going to break. We'll be back in a second. Get ready to wrap the thing up. And don't forget the letter of the day for the Word of the Week prize. Come back in a moment.
Whether social,
hey, welcome in,
or anti-social,
hey, get out.
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos, and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
Hey, that was Blur with song 2.
Yes. It's a short song, and sometimes it doesn't give you a lot of time to prepare.
93.3 WMMR, but no, I hit a button that I wasn't supposed to hit, and there we go. We have a little confusion. It is 10:43 on this Thursday morning. Other than this last segue, things have been great today.
They've actually been really good.
It's actually a great show very moment.
So, but it all came crashing down.
And then it died. How many times did you get people...
Died on the Vine.
In London, walking by going, privilege.
A lot.
Like if we, if we got seats on the plane before anybody else, or, you know, as the other passengers were, somebody else got seated, privilege.
Getting off the plane out of London because we needed to make a beeline from Heathrow to get to the broadcast. We paid for a service to get us out of the airport a little bit faster. And I heard it from several people as we were walking past. And it was a long-ass line getting off.
That was
there was three planes, I think, that got off at the same time that landed at the same time.
Difference between almost 3 hours getting through customs and we got through in just about half hour, 25 minutes.
Somebody had said to me, somebody knows someone. I go, no, somebody paid someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, though. I don't think typically if you fly coach that you can even pay for that service.
No.
We were able to get that service through a connection, but it's usually reserved for first class travelers. Yeah,
well, then it was privileged, but
a little bit. Yeah,
we needed it because we made it by the skin of our teeth.
Absolutely,
and we did
literally
show.
With minutes to spare.
Thank you to Mr. Steve Winter who was here this morning. A photographer with National Geographic. He's appearing at the Marin Theater tonight at 8 p.m. as part of the new Nat Geo Live series. You can get tickets at KimmelCenter.org. And I was telling Casey, you know, we have famous people, and then we have fascinating people on the show. And then we are the stupid people. But I love talking to fascinating people, and he was a fascinating guy.
That'd be him. That sort of lifestyle.
Yeah.
That, you know, that the ultimate adventurer, because he's a photojournalist as well. Overtones of Indiana Jones and elements of, you know, going to where he's going in these most rural and remote areas. But the pictures are just, I was going through some of his stuff online, staggeringly beautiful.
National Geographic.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Our buddy Michael Barkan is great as always. NBC Sports Philadelphia. We love him to death. He's one of our brothers in arms here in the world of broadcasting. He's one of the absolute best. And we also had on during that segment as well, John Dornbos.
Hey.
Dornbos is in town tomorrow and Saturday, 8 p.m. are the shows for his performance at Sugar House. It's his life story, as well as a lot of great magic, but should be pretty cool. Tickets at sugarhouseentertainment.com to get those. Pierre's here, and good day to you, sir.
And to you.
Sorry, I hiccup there. Breakfast pizza.
It was dramatic, actually.
We have a beautiful day in store, but before we get into any of that, let's do the letter of the day, if you are so inclined.
I am.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter...
I, as in intelligent.
All right. And we have the opportunity to live like Marissa with a hotel stay at the Westin Hotel in the city. Dinner at Opa.
and two tickets to see Storm Large's Crazy Kind of Love concert with the Philly Pops at the Kimmel Center. It's Friday, November 9th. Storm's Crazy Kind of Love set features classic rock hits as well as tunes like I've Got You Under My Skin, Somebody to Love, Forever Young. Tickets on sale now, phillypops.org. And listen, that's a great price. Going into the city, staying the night, going to dinner, going to a show, love it.
Great. That's I stayed at the Westin not long ago, in fact, and it's great. The Westin on 17th Street is actually the former Ritz-Carlton. So it's okay. It was built incredibly luxuriously anyway, and then the Ritz moved over to the old Girard Bank on Broad Street where it is now, and the Westin took it over. So it's a really beautiful structure, and the rooms are incredible.
We'll give that way that stay away tomorrow.
It's like the Continental, Preston, but for program directors.
Okay. All bets are off, though.
Good to see you.
You don't have to. Yes. Nobody has to kill anybody. That's great.
You cannot program while you're at the Westin.
So what's in store for today, man?
For today, we'll have another pair of Mark Knopfler tickets for the Met in August, which is very important to start planning for now. And they'll go on sale tomorrow, actually. And we'll have Workforce Blocks of the Peppers for Anthony's birthday today and Def Leppard for Rick Allen's birthday, DMB, the Dave Matthews Band as well, and other fun things.
Love it. Excellent. Yes. I like your jacket, by the way.
Thank you.
You look nice today, sir.
I'm going to the craft show, the Pennsylvania Craft Convention, Pennsylvania Craft, there's some organization of, no, well, there's an organization of the Craft League or something puts on the Pennsylvania Craft Show this evening, and it's very acclaimed around the country, and it opens.
And you're hosting, or you're doing the presentation?
No,
or just...
I go every year with my neighbor. She likes to go, and so we go together, and we stroll around, and they have the opening tonight, and then the grand opening tonight, and then the regular opening tomorrow.
Cool, very man. Nice.
Wonderful. All right, well, let me thank our sponsors. Today's program has been brought to you by Acme, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts, the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. And the Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. Tomorrow on our program, writer-director Sean Anders.
Yes.
Casey is doing the premiere of that film tonight.
He's Daddy's Home 1 and 2.
Yeah, and there's a Q&A and the whole deal, so we'll talk to him in the studio tomorrow. Comedian Tony Rock will be joining us as well, and we're going to have John Rambo.
We are going to have John Rambo. Yes.
We were talking about, we saw a guy named John Rambo locally. He texted us. We're like, you want to come on the show? Sure. So we'll see if we have time to have John Rambo on the program tomorrow. All right, so that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. It's going to be a beautiful day today, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
This is a message to all the little f***holes who toilet papered my house last night. I'm going to find you, and I'm going to kill you.
Next message.
It's November 1st again. Happy birthday to me.
Next message.
It is November 1st. That does not mean it's Christmas. What about Thanksgiving? What the f*** happened to that?
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.